Support for this Survivor podcast, Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, ranking Survivor's most iconic immunity necklaces, comes from Progressive Insurance. Fun fact, Progressive customers qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up for Progressive Auto Insurance. Discounts for things like enrolling in automatic payments, insuring more than one car, going paperless, and of course, being a safe driver. Plus, customers who bundle their auto with home or add renter's insurance save an average of 12% on their auto. There are so many ways to save when you switch, and once you're a customer with Progressive, you get unmatched claim service with 24/7 support online or by phone. It's no wonder why more than 20 million drivers trust Progressive and why they've recently climbed to the third largest auto insurer in the country. Get a quote online at progressive.com in as little as 5 minutes and see how much you could be saving. Auto insurance from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Home and renters insurance not available in all states. Provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for our brand new Survivor off-season podcast where we break down the arbitrary and reductive here on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. And today, we are going to be talking about the Survivor's most iconic immunity necklaces. This one's going to be a visual one. You're going to want to check this out on our YouTube channel if you want to follow along and see what we're seeing. Otherwise, we will be describing for you podcast listeners. And so, of course, here is my co-host, co-founder of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom.
Happy to be back for a second engagement, Rob, as we continue to Outlist. You will not believe which one of these immunity necklaces came from Sears, much like Sophie Clark.
Oh, yes, I have been going back and forth with Sophie over these last couple of days about her Sears application tape.
Wow. Did you find any other key tidbits about what she did?
She sent me the video. I watched the whole thing.
How was it?
Great. It was a great video. I think that those videos had to be only 60 seconds, kept it very tight.
Wow. Okay. So you understand why maybe it didn't resonate with the audiences of the Sears contest, but definitely made its way to the, you know, hit where it really was supposed to with the Survivor casting team proper.
You saw why Lynn Spillman said, okay, we have gold. But we have gold here today because we are joined by, of course, Mike's podcast co-host when he talks about Survivor South Africa. And then, of course, the chief international Survivor correspondent for Rob as a podcast. Please welcome Shannon Gus is here. Shannon, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for introducing me as Mike's podcast co-host. You narrowed the field to several dozen people. Kept the suspense going. Who's it going to be? One of anyone?
Yes.
I think about this all the time. Like, Mike is my only co-host, and that's really important to me. Like, that's really sacred, and I'm just one of the many to Mike, but it's fine.
No, but I said this on another podcast the other day. Like, I have so much love to give to each and every person that
I was just listening to that, and I was like, okay, nice to hear that on another one of your many podcasts. I'll let you reach out in person, Mike, and tell me what you mean to me.
How close are we to the full-on Brant Steele of all of your podcast co-hosts? Are we there yet?
I mean, I might have to like recuse myself from that because I don't know if I feel like that's going to be literally a worst case scenario for me.
Yeah.
For all my friends and a Brant Steele, this is how friendships are broken, even virtually through actions that are not of the people that are playing.
It'd have to be an Australian Survivor Brant Steele for how many co-hosts you have. I don't even know if that would fit.
Well,
you
I think so we could probably, we'd have to get the Survivor historians in there.
Right. Yeah. We have to obviously get my wife in there because she's like my co-host of life
partner, right?
And also, didn't you do like a you actually co-hosted a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, and she and I co-hosted a podcast together, so yeah, there's a voluminous list. But that being said, maybe that's another Outwit Outplay Outlist is if we get
Mike can rank all of his podcast co-hosts. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that'll be the last podcast I ever do. I promise that.
All right, okay, so today we're going to be talking about Survivor's most iconic immunity necklaces. Mike, can you just tell us, what was your criteria for iconic immunity necklaces?
Right. So to sort of typify and narrow the field, unlike revealing that my co-host is on the podcast here, as to what we're doing here. So we're talking immunity necklaces. We are not talking immunity idols. We are not talking tribe immunity idols. We are talking you've won an individual immunity in Survivor. congratulations, spin and grin. Jeff's going to put this necklace on you. That's what we're talking about today. And obviously, we had 40 to choose between. I cut that list right in half and narrowed it down to 20. And I think what I distilled is 20 of probably the most interesting designs in Survivor history when it comes to Mirror Name necklaces, for good and for bad.
So are we talking about their aesthetic purposes or things that happen to these particular necklaces, or both?
You know, it's a good question, because I do think, you know, one of the onuses of this podcast is to sort of come in and talk about our own criteria for ranking these types of things. Because, I mean, there probably are some associated memories with some of these things as well. Like, oh, I can remember when this got put around so-and-so's neck. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, for instance, spoiler alert, the Survivor Micronesia necklace will not be in this podcast, but it has associated memories, right? Considering that it's something that Eric gave away, it showed up on another season and became an idol in Ghost Island.
Is it not on this list? Because it became an idol and idols aren't part of the list?
No, I mean, from an aesthetic perspective, it was just sort of like, fine.
Oh, this is already so controversial.
Oh, yeah, this is very controversial.
Did it make the top 20? I mean, 40?
Listen, it's tough to say top 20, again, because there are some objectively not very good necklaces on
good.
Here.
We embrace the controversy and the interaction here on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist.
Don't say we. Don't say
yes.
We.
Yes, we do. We do. At because that's engagement. That's what we're looking for here. We crave it here in the Survivor offseason. Of course, last time out, we went through, Shannon, can you believe we talked about Survivor's most iconic product placements?
Something that is near and dear to my heart.
Yes,
course,
yes. Yeah. Well, we can get into a whole international product placement.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I had many requests when I posted that subject last week. It's like, you got to do Biostrath. And it's like, A, I couldn't do it without Shannon.
Oh, I would have killed you.
Biostrath tastes like garbage water that came from a latrine. Okay,
well, in fairness, that is the slogan.
As a matter of legality, like, we don't think that, Mike, remember?
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot. That was my persona.
We actually, like, because people were talking to the product placement people at the Survivor South Africa reunion, and they, like, were really a fan of what we were doing. Like, I guess no, there's no such thing as bad press, right?
Yes. Considering that we taste tested it and like vociferously gagged on microphone in response to it. But I guess it is the Bette Midler policy. But yeah, unfortunately, maybe another time we can embrace, because even outside of that, we have what, like Hungry Jack for Australia. We had Pizza Hut for New Zealand. So there's lots of international sponsors out there.
Also, Shannon, speaking of international Survivor, you just had a interesting podcast that you filed with Dirty Harry this week.
Yeah, so I'm trying to start a bit of a thing. Well, actually, Harry came to me with his insights from playing two seasons on the social game, and we wanted to dig into, you know, when you're like, oh, they had a good social game. What does that mean? Mm. That's so vague. You would say that about like really different types of players. So we kind of dug into the specifics of that, and like ways to approach the social game and the way perception works into that. And we had kind of a criteria for that. So it could not be more different to this. It was just like hyper strategy, if you want to check that out. And this is like meaningless. I don't know what this is. This is but it's not
this
that.
This is dessert. This is like Shannon is providing incredibly strategic and valuable philosophical meals, and we are like the Oreo sundae that comes out.
Because and Harry knows a thing or two about a ice cream dessert, so it all comes full circle. All right, so check
you have
that
the product
out.
Placementing right now, but I just wanted to say as well, like I'm hoping to do a bit of a game theory off-season series and kind of dig into those strategic topics as they pertain to Survivor. So if anyone has any ideas of what they'd like to hear discussed, like always, you can reach out to me on social media, and then we can provide like a bit of a serious Survivor thing to, again, this absolute nonsense. Like, there's space for both because this is nonsense.
Okay.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes, happy to have you here. Okay, check that out. But robiswebsite.com or in our International Survivor podcast feed. Okay. All right, Mike, you want to get things started today?
Absolutely. So, as
first
Rob said,
things first.
This is a very visual podcast. We're going to try our best to describe them. I might throw that on to Rob, who
yes.
I know these are not bras, but I'm assuming you can do a pretty good job giving descriptions here.
Yep. They often go on someone's chest, so it's a similar exercise.
And actually, there might be one in here that is more bra-like than you might think.
Okay, you got it. You guys are so lucky that I have a cursory knowledge of Renap, because otherwise I would be very offended right now.
Yes, that if with for no the context. Uninitiated, that yes, as part of a in game night one and two, win, lose, or bra was a game that was played where we had to come up with the prices of women's undergarments that were selected by Hannah Lil Nessen.
Yes, who again might have make an appearance in a manner of speaking in this podcast. But so suffice it to say, if you're watching the video's version of this, no problem. We'll have the guide to follow along with. But if you want to check these out for yourselves and you are on the go and cannot watch a video, just go to bit.ly/outlistnecklace. bit.ly/outlistnecklace. And they're going to get access to all of the necklaces that we are going to be talking about today. So you can have a nice, easy guide and give your own assessments as we tier and rank all of these necklaces in this installment.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, what is our first item up for bids?
So we're going to go in chronological order here. And I mean, Shannon was speaking of pure nonsense. Let's start with an item of pure nonsense. We're going back to the very beginning. We're going back to Survivor Borneo. Now, look, there is a lot that is, for lack of a better term, jank about Survivor Borneo. And one of them might be, by comparison to the aesthetics of Survivor nowadays, the immunity necklace. Back then, they called it the immunity talisman. Rob, for those at home just listening along, how would you describe the Borneo immunity necklace?
The Borneo immunity necklace looks like something that my five-year-old potentially made in arts and crafts. It is a kind of a rectangle that has been, looks like finger painted, loosely resembling a face, and not just any face, a face which appears to be an unhappy face. There's a little bit of like a Mr. Potato Head red nose in the center, and then it is adorned on the necklace strap by various seashells.
Right, exactly. So yeah, this was the first ever immunity necklace that was given out. Of course, I think this was a place to start, not only because it is iconic being the first immunity necklace, but I do think in retrospect, its aesthetic leaves something to be desired.
Okay. It is ugly. It is part of the first Survivor season. Shannon, any particular thoughts that jump out for you for the Survivor Borneo immunity necklace?
I appreciate the lack of effort. Like, I think that's ballsy in your first season to come out with something just so bad, as if it was like, what do we have right in front of us? Some paint, our own fingers, a rock or stone, and some shells we can find on the beach. So they clearly just kind of cobbled this together, couldn't bring in the art department from LA. And I appreciate that. I think they could rest on how good the game was and how good the show was, Survivor, you know, without needing to have something really visually appealing, something that looked really impressive. And I think that speaks to how much faith they had in the show. And I think that I'm impressed by that. I mean, obviously, it's an iconic necklace. 50 million people watch Richard Hatch give this up in a move that was iconic in terms of the evolution of strategy. And it's yet still so ugly. That should be commended.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Richard gave it up because it was so ugly?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm not wearing this on day 38. Give me the orange slices.
He did an epic dance one time when he got it. So I don't think that he necessarily thought it was that ratchet.
I don't know. I mean, it looks literally painful that the shells could be stabbing you in the chest.
Yeah.
The guy is so sad. I wouldn't want to win it.
Yeah, I am concerned about the mood of the totem that is on this talisman. I can understand, because Mark Burnett, if you read his book, he was very much into like the cultural basis of this. Like, we are a tribe. We are, you know, ingraining ourselves into the culture and the nature of Pulau Tiga. And I guess you're trying to go for like a very solemn, stern totem, but it looks like you don't want grumpy cats sitting around your neck after you've won immunity.
We don't want D'Angelo Williams or Gary doing a blowfish face.
Exactly. No blowfish.
Why does the necklace have resting bitch face? Like, it's a necklace.
So not only does it have an unhappy face, but it also has like a very like furrowed orange brow, which I don't really get, because if anything, the immunity idol should be like the smiley face emoji.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I'm safe. Maybe it's more so that the immunity, like the totem, forgot its glasses and it's like trying to read the votes from far away, because
I feel that
fairly far away. It's like, oh, what is that? Is that Jay for Jenna?
Mm-hmm.
It's so, not happy to be there.
I guess, so Mike, this is the first time through for us. So I guess let's talk through this exercise. So I've described the aesthetics. Mm-hmm. It is part of a iconic season for sure. I don't know if there are too many particularly memorable moments that take place with the immunity necklace in season one of Borneo. So what are your criteria?
I didn't even put the Micronesia one on the list.
I get, yeah. But just because it's Mike's criteria, Shannon, doesn't mean that's ours.
No, Mike's criteria is wrong. Okay. You add Mike.
Thank you very much. Yeah, please add me. I mean, listen, it's the first one, and it's also, like, it's, we just spent 15 minutes talking about how fugly it is. Like, that seems iconic to me in a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
For me, it's high up just because I feel like, yeah, they put no time into it because they were putting time into crafting, like, the greatest game of my lifetime, and I'm appreciative. Imagine if this was better and epic, but then, like, there was no jury because they didn't have time to think about how, like, you know, there was
Vote. I knew we forgot something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the alternate reality where they're like, we have time to either kind of work out the structure of the game or make this monstrosity, and it's not good. So obviously they spent a lot of time thinking about Survivor. I'm grateful for that. I put it high just for what that represents.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get out our list and we're going to place it in one of our four tiers. Mike, could you describe the tiers again for our listeners?
Right. So we have the same four tiers that we did last time. Going from top to bottom, we have worth playing for, which means best of the best. This is a necklace worth playing for. Next down is my life is fine. This means this is, you know, pretty good to okay. Ain't no Hershey bar means it's not great, but it's not the worst of the worst, which, of course, the worst of the worst is, to echo the great Crystal Cox, forget you, go home, goodbye, GTFO necklace.
Yes. Okay. All right. So here we are with our first necklace, and it's a little bit of a challenge for me to pick it out from the pile of necklaces before.
It's a memory test, which is a challenge within itself.
All right. So which tier do we drop this off at?
This is a good question. And this is where it's going to come down to us for aesthetic versus like value/memorability. Because I think if you're judging it purely in aesthetics, it has to be forget you, go home, goodbye. Because this is just like the face it is making, I think, shows how much pain it is in to be a necklace in particular. But if you incorporate that it's part of the first season, it might raise its stock a little bit out of that bottom tier.
Yeah.
Rob looks like he's having so much fun just dragging it around.
Well, where's it going to go? Yeah.
My life is fine for it.
I think my life is fine for the first immunity necklace, the Survivor Borneo immunity necklace. Let's see if it gets pushed down from the other stuff.
That's okay. The thing as well. We're going to do a bit of an audit at the end to, I think, move stuff up or down depending on how everything else sits as well.
Okay.
Seriousness with which you take this will continue to kill me. Just letting you know. It's not going to stop the whole podcast.
All right. Let's bring in then our second necklace. Mike, what do we have to look at next?
Well, let's stick with the odd as we go to the next odd numbered season. We are going to Survivor Africa season 3. I've always called this one like the color forms necklace. I don't know, Shannon, if you had color forms in Australia, but it is one of the only like fabric necklaces that we have in this list. And it is an image that I will always remember personally.
Shannon, do you know what a color form is?
I don't. I don't know what it is. What is it?
So color forms were sort of like, they're sort of like
plastic stickers.
Yeah, like plastic stickers, but they were like clinging. So they weren't like stickers. You could like throw them onto like a placemat to almost like play with them as a kid. So this is what this sort of reminds me of, like a little piece of plastic you would get in a kit and like throw onto, you know, your like Polly Pocket kit that you got for Christmas.
Yeah. So if I was going
I still
to
understand what it is, but I'll look it up after.
So to describe what this is for our listeners at home, like imagine like a big, like, it's kind of like something that you would throw on your lawn that would be like a big, like a Nerf Frisbee with a hole in the middle, with a little bit of a stem underneath it. So and then sort of like a little bit of like a triangles like jutting out from the inner circle.
It's a weird sort of like a skin tag at the bottom in particular. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is definitely, you know, the Australia one is not necessarily anything to write home about. But this is something that I always sort of remembered, not even for the shape of it, but because it's cloth. Like, I do have images in my head of like Lex wearing it and it being very warped and floppy, which you don't necessarily expect from immunity necklaces.
Okay.
But I do think in terms of comfort, like, are we awarding points for that? Because while like the Borneo one, as I said, looked really painful and would poke you, like this looks like it could provide warmth.
Yes.
Quite comfortable.
You feel like it, this could be, if you're going on a long flight, a neck pillow to maybe help you get a nap.
Yeah, and they were going on so many flights in Survivor Africa, so that's a good thing.
Pirate I just feel Blue like rides, sure.
If you're looking for some sort of warmth or comfort, this could provide that. So it's kind of like winning a reward.
Right. You know? You really have now an extra desire to go for this because like this is how you sleep at night now. Mm-hmm. Shrouded in comfort.
Think so. I mean, if it's cloth, like you could kind of fold it up like a pillow, like you said. So I mean, there's some kind of dual purpose to it that I think should be rewarded. It's ugly as well, but
is there a clasp in the back or do you have to stick your head through the hole?
I believe there is a clasp in the back. I don't think like Big Tom with the toilet in All
yes,
Stars.
I remember that. I remember that well. Yes. Yes. So, okay. Did Big Tom get to stick his head through the hole of this necklace?
I believe he did, actually. I think he might have won one immunity challenge or something.
Okay.
So he said he has his experience with sticking his head through holes. But yeah, I do believe there was a clasp in the back from what I remember. I don't think you have to, I mean, God help anyone who has the big head that gets their, that it turns into a headband instead of a necklace.
Ethan had
that
big
loses
hair.
Points for me.
Sure.
Because I think that if Jeff was having to hold it and someone was kind of trying to poke their head through and failing even, that to me would win points for just like iconicness. They'd probably edit it out, but it would be really funny in the moment.
Yeah.
But having a clasp makes it boring again.
It'd be great if Jeff could do like a ring toss for somebody of like wins immunity and just throws it on their head. That would be one hell of a shot.
They'd edit out all the ones he didn't get.
Jeremy Collins could do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, like, that's, leave that to the professionals.
All right. So, should we put this on the board? Our Survivor Africa immunity. Well, would you even call this a necklace?
I mean, like, that's also a good thing.
It's more of a tie than a necklace.
We define something that goes around the neck as a necklace.
This is a tie. You have completely reframed this for me. This is a very, very,
this
very
short immunity tie.
It's the immunity clip-on tie.
Yes. Okay. Because we've determined it has a clasp.
This is a bib.
Yeah,
this
a bib. Kind of a yeah, bib. Like if you were going to have like a lobster dinner.
Yeah, there was a lobster reward. You get the immunity necklace, you put it around, and you wipe any butter on it.
Dual purposes, I'm telling you, there's a lot to be done with this.
Mm.
Like nothing that you would necessarily need on Survivor Africa.
Okay. All right. So
in general.
Time to place it on our list, okay? Will it be better or worse than the Survivor Borneo Idol? Let's go ahead and take a look here. All right. So our immunity bib, is it better or worse than... than the Borneo necklace.
See, that's tough because like now I would have initially said worse, but I think we have talked it up more so than maybe it was worth.
That's gonna happen to all of them, though.
I don't know if it's better. I might be a little bit better than the Borneo one, if we're being honest.
Good.
No, I can't co-sign that. I mean, the Borneo one is the reason we have the jury format. Like, I can't be putting a.
Well, that's the narrative that you're creating.
Yeah, you just
and now it's canon.
Mark Burnett didn't say like,
here?
Well, we were going to spend another couple of hours working on the immunity idol, but we decided instead to put that time into developing the jury system.
I thought that we were here to do something ridiculous that we would give meaning to. Mm-hmm. The meaning I've given is that the Survivor Borneo ugly immunity necklace is the reason we have a jury, and that should put it above an immunity bib.
All right, well then let me bring this up.
Okay,
here's my canon. Without an immunity bib, if while eating a reward, they might have gotten barbecue sauce all over themselves, in which case lions would have snuck into their camp and devoured them whole. So theoretically, that necklace has saved tens of lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that tens of lives are more important than the jury format of Survivor, Mike?
Well, I think juries can sometimes outnumber tens of people, technically speaking. But that's a sort of a would you rather. Would you rather have people? It's a real trolley problem.
I know what I'm saying.
Jury or people get devoured by lions.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have canceled Survivor if that had happened? Because that will tip my feelings on it. Okay, so if there was no immunity bib, they all get killed by lions, and Survivor is canceled in its third season. You have made a compelling point, Mike. And because we are committing to the bit, all right. Well, okay. No,
let's have fun. Let's live a little.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Let loose.
Yes. Okay. Good. And the immunity bib could have prevented Wu from getting barbecue sauce all over everything when he won those ribs in the auction.
Yeah, that necklace is so immaculate. Take a fat dip of that bib.
All right. Let's keep going. Mike, where's our next stop in our immunity necklace tour?
Pretty short stop, actually, because we're going to the very next season. This is something that was pointed out to me by Justin Feinberg when I put the call out for responses on the Rob Has Patrons Facebook group. I had forgotten that the Survivor Marquesas idol is what it is, which is surprisingly like bulky and a little garish in its own right as well. So we're going to keep on keeping on with these old school necklaces.
Okay.
What are we looking at?
Yes.
Like, I know you need to describe it to the listeners, but also describe it to me because I'm confused about what we're looking at.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at this. Mike, is this just the bottom of the necklace? Is there like a talisman at the bottom?
Yeah. I mean, so it's sort of what the, you know, Mr. Frowny Face was in Borneo, right? There's usually like a center thing in the necklace. And in this case, that is this thing.
Okay, so that is this thing. It looks like that it is a little wooden tiki at the bottom of a necklace. It has floppy ears like a dog, but big eyes with very tiny pupils like an owl. It appears to have a mustache, and then it looks like a face that is like, ooh, and then... all the way down by the bottom, there is a tiny ball bearing, which is, I'm not sure what that really represents behind.
That seems to choose on your behalf, to be honest.
Yeah. And looks like
mine is legs.
Mine is, legs, which are jutting out. Very tiny legs.
Mm, all right. So I'll
that
come right out and say.
Immaculately described,
exactly.
I have to say.
Try. I will say what, of course, we're all thinking. This thing looks like a sex toy.
I was not thinking that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how did you come to that conclusion? I'm so interested to hear your thought process.
I mean, I think the shape sort of, and also...
Yeah, what do you do with this?
I mean, listen, everyone has their... Don't yuck anyone's yum. People might have... There's various ways you could use this for. I do worry about what seems to be like two piercing black and red talons coming, curling around from different sides.
You shouldn't worry about it because it's not a sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why it has talons.
But yeah, so this is a weird, like, chimera-like animal slash totem, as Rob is describing it. I've completely forgotten about this until I looked back at this image.
Yeah, okay.
I want to bin this because it was described by Rob as, like, an animalistic, multi-animal kind of, form. And then Mike described it as a sex toy. And, like, kind of both of those things are true. Mm. So thinking of that... I'm hating this now.
Yes.
Mike, you made me hate it.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we know how Shannon feels about this. I guess let's try to place this one onto our list. It is not memorable. I think one of the criteria for me is could I close my eyes and think back to the season and remember what the necklace looks like. I mean, this could basically be, we could find out after the podcast is over, hey, I totally pranked you guys. This was not even a real immunity necklace.
Yeah, I found this on Etsy.
I found this on Etsy. This was Asher's project that he put together. Yeah. Okay.
So, Asher put together the dog sex toy?
Well, Lucky, please don't call it a dog sex toy.
That, no, that is what it's called.
Let's not put them both together.
But it is. But now that you're looking at it, that is what it is, right? So this is why I'm thinking that we should throw this in a fire.
Okay.
Just throw it in the fire.
All right. So let's go ahead and see if we can place it. I feel like I know where Shannon thinks it should go. Shannon, is this the correct placement in the forget you, go home, goodbye tier?
I think so. Like, even though it has, unintentionally created a new game, idol or sex toy, which I think is fun and maybe something we should be looking at as we go through the list.
Yeah.
I do think, the animalistic qualities of it, everything we've talked about, the ball bearing, that just seems like it'll make it heavy.
Good center of gravity, though. keeps it from flopping this way and that.
Exactly. You don't want to lose your balance while you're carrying around. That is the ultimate faux pas.
While you're doing what, though?
Voting.
I totally agree, though. I think this, unfortunately, hits the weird sort of Venn diagram of it's not memorable, and it really is just horrific looking.
And it's ratchet.
It's so ratchet. Like, it is, it's large, too. That's the thing, is that it's,
oh my gosh.
Okay.
It's like so lengthy compared to, even look at that, as much as we talk about, again, the frowny face talisman, it is relatively smaller compared to, like, this thing, which looks like it measures probably about like 7 or 8 inches.
Mike, you're making it worse.
And I want you to stop talking. Mike. I want to move on.
No wonder Jeff hates Marquesas this season.
Okay. All right.
I know that we talked about like the bib and dual purpose, but I don't want to get into
Let's see if I can get the general back on the line after a recent talking with T-Bird. Okay. All right. Mike, where's our next stop?
I don't know where this podcast is going to go, and it terrifies me.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Shannon. We are going someplace comfortable because we are going to the necklace out of this entire bunch that Rob has experience with.
No,
we are
I'm
going
surprised,
to the Amazon,
Mike, that you skipped Thailand. I feel like that was a particularly memorable, like gold, just like half a hubcap necklace.
There's going to be some later on that I think evoke a similar type of thing. So it almost is like Thailand in spirit. Plus, if we do a follow-up and we do the other 20, then we got to have some ringers in there as well.
Okay.
As we have covered, Mike's system was really bad.
All right.
Yeah, I only picked the ones that looked most like sex toys. We have established this now.
All right. So let's...
How does your brain get to these places? Anyway.
All right.
I just have questions.
Let's go ahead and talk about the necklace near and dear to my heart. It's the Survivor. One time literally. Here is the Survivor, the Amazon immunity necklace. What you're seeing here is in mint condition. Did not end up that way. This is the only immunity necklace which is destroyed during the season of Survivor. It got burnt in the fire. I believe that if you're taking a look at this, I'll describe it, but about a good 25% of the immunity necklace gets burnt in the fire. I believe that occurred on my watch. I believe that I was given a brand new pristine immunity necklace, and I do believe that it got actually it was on Christine. Jenna gave it to Heidi, and once that was really the it was a cursed immunity necklace at that point, once it got passed around. Okay. All right. So the immunity necklace for Survivor, the Amazon. First off, you're going to start off, if you want to build this at home, start off with gluing a bunch of animal teeth to a rope. Okay. Step one. Then also get like a big animal bone you want that in hanging down from the center. Then you're going to around the outer lining an assortment of green feathers, and then jutting out from the center a assorted bunch of red feathers sticking out. So you want 6 red feathers sticking out.
So Rob, talk to me about what it was like to wear this thing. Like, was it obtrusive? Was it like, because obviously
it was itchy.
Yeah, with feathers, I can imagine it's a bit itchy if it like, you know, touches you in a certain way.
Yeah. So that it was, it did not bother me. I rather enjoyed wearing it. You know, the problem is, you know, if I look back, that I know you had a picture of me with the immunity necklace. So I was wearing a green T-shirt, which I actually came to hate, because earlier in Survivor of the Amazon, we had a challenge where I had my arms tied behind my back, and I had to, for a good 10-15 minutes, work at ripping off large pieces of beef off that were dangling from a hook. And if only I would have had some sort of a garment that would have protected my shirt during that time, it would have kept the barbecue sauce off of my green shirt and kept it from smelling so terribly for the remainder of time I would have it, until it would then get burned in the fire.
You went through a lot, Rob.
Went through a lot.
I have some questions before I could kind of rank it. So the first thing is just four idols into this. This is not the idol that I would have chosen to burn in the fire. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit unfortunate. But I want to ask, are these materials real? Because if so, it looks like they murdered just like a whole bunch of animals to get this. And as a vegetarian, I don't co-sign that.
I don't suspect the art department murdered any animals to make this.
Okay. That's good to know.
I would not suspect. Because
that changes things for me. If they murdered a bunch of animals, yeah, I'm not on board.
I do not believe that animal sacrifice was involved with any of the productions of the immunity idol, but I cannot say for certain.
Otherwise, Joanna Ward would have had an even a bigger problem with idols than she did in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. So, I mean, the fact that you won it, that's high up for me, Rob. Like, I love that. I love that. That's one of my favorite moments in Survivor history.
Wow.
The fact that you won, but also mostly that Matteo lost because he thought everyone had a crush on him.
It's a good challenge.
It's iconic. It's a great challenge.
It's not aesthetically a particularly great immunity necklace.
I think, you know, there's going to be one coming up that, for lack of a better term, I do feel like this one walks so that one could fly in a manner of speaking.
Before exactly.
But I do think there is some acknowledgement here as like the first feathered one. And I do think this is also one of the first ones that like calls to the cultural aesthetic as well. And I really just feel like you're, whether fake or not, you're pulling from wildlife and, you know, birds that are found within the jungles of the Amazon rainforest that may not be anywhere else.
Okay. All right, let's see if we can place this on the board as we try to figure out where it should go. All right, so let's take a look at our list of immunity necklaces and figure out what tier should it go on. And the first question is it better than the Marquesas dog? What are we calling
dog
it?
Sex toy.
The dog sex toy. The DST.
It's called that. You can't change things that are canon.
You can't
really
change
creating
it.
Some sort of survivor law here.
Yeah, now sure. It's like, oh, maybe we should have gotten rid of the jury system. I would have spent more time making sure that these things didn't come out this way.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And now we can start ranking what is more important: the survivor jury system, idols that prevent people from being murdered, or not creating dog sex toys.
Okay, so it's better than
and we're only like 30 minutes into this podcast.
Than DST.
And that's already
all right,
kind of make
yeah
sense.
Better than DST.
Okay, do we move it up to the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier?
I really like this one.
Okay,
I just for me like this. It's just I need greater confirmation about the animal murder because. Like, that's really going to make a difference for me. But just assuming
it definitely
that
they did not murder an animal that I can,
you can assure
that
me.
I can assure you that I look, I can't say that if the feathers are real or not, but I do not believe that the bones are real.
Okay. So that makes a difference for me. I can't believe that the bib is first. Should this be first?
I think this should be first.
Wow. Okay. I mean that historically that it did get have a memorable moment of that it was nearly burnt to a crisp in the fire.
Let's also remember that to your point, Rob, this is the first one to be passed off to somebody else, which will make for more iconic moments in Survivor
history.
And
yet you didn't put the Micronesia one on the list, but that's something
Amazon came first.
Also, can I make a request to our listeners? Could I get a meme of How It's Going versus now with the immunity necklace from Survivor of the Amazon before it was burnt and then after.
I love it. That's like a perfect microcosm. Like, screw this is fine, dog. I think this is the new meme.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes. Also, yes. Could we get the this is fine, dog in the Survivor Amazon camp as it's
wearing
burning?
The necklace.
Yes, wearing the necklace.
Yeah. You guys know the original This Is Fine Dog in the Amazon coming back, like seeing your camp bird down.
This
saying,
is fine, dog sex toy. Yes. Okay. All right.
Imagine if someone's jumping into the podcast now.
I don't think people are jumping in 37 minutes and like, oh, this is a good place.
That's why on podcasting you have to hear, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Mike Bloom and Shannon Gus. It is 6 o'clock Pacific time here as we're going through our top four necklaces in Survivor history. All right.
Okay, so it would be ridiculous for someone to jump into a podcast, but it's not ridiculous that we've coined dog sex toy as something that's clearly going to be part of the
less ridiculous.
People at least start podcasts on at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Best you could hope for is somebody fell asleep and woke up just now. Go back to sleep. It's not worth it.
All right. I'm weird ass dreams.
Sorry about the dreams. Sorry. Okay. All right. Let's look at our next chronological immunity necklace, and we'll go one season later into Survivor's future.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here. This is going to be far and away my number one necklace of the entire series that we're doing here. It is the Pearl Island Sword and Scabbard.
But is it a necklace?
It's not a necklace. None of those things were necklaces. But it was coined a necklace.
Exactly. Like, is a bib a necklace? Is a tie a necklace?
Is a yes. sex toy a necklace?
Yes. That they go around your neck. Does this go around your neck?
It can if you tighten the straps.
Whoa. Let's see, Shannon, is the immunity sword a necklace?
What is a necklace? You know, I think we're long enough into the podcast now where we can ask that question. What defines necklace? This is something that you would wear like kind of across your chest.
Yes.
But if you wanted to, you could wear it around your neck. It would be uncomfortable, but you could do that. And I have to agree with Mike, like this is iconic. This is probably one of the only necklaces in inverted commas that you could show me and I would know what season it's from.
Yeah.
Heavily leans into maybe the best theme in Survivor history, such a conceptual season. It's a weapon, which was a weird choice. Yeah.
And not only that, it's two weapons. I forgot, and this picture proved it. Not only is there a sword, apparently there's a gun.
There's a pistol.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
That's kind of dangerous. It's also a terrible sex toy, if that's how we're ranking things now.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think just due to iconicness, which is the list, like you'd put it really high up.
Yeah. Okay. Does the sword come out? And then check questions. Does the pistol come out?
Yeah, I don't know if these were usable weapons. I don't know. We'd have to converse, I guess, like ask Rupert or ask Sandra. Oh, I guess Sandra never won it. I know Rupert won it, which is another reason why it's iconic, right? Because like he was one of the first to win the necklace. And of course, the pirate, the consummate pirate in the pirate season gets the sword and raises it in triumph. But yeah, I'd be intrigued to see if these were real cutlasses and you know, pistols that they were working with.
I think the fact that Lil wasn't pushed to like a full murder spree means that you can't untouch these weapon.
Well, why do you think that I don't know how to use this gun? What? You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, Lil has that. I forgot Lil has that sharpshooter badge that she was nearly on Top Shot with Colby after her season.
Yeah. Mike, which Survivor Pearl Island's character would it be most surreal to see them draw the pistol?
Definitely Dara. Or Krista, like, what is
she saying? What is she saying? She seems agitated. She definitely wants something.
Exactly. Or Krista, like, oh my God. I'm gonna shoot you.
All right. So I guess let's place the sword and the gun. Boy, you could play a game of Clue with the Survivor Pearl Islands immunity necklace.
I'm sure they distracted themselves all the live long day playing Clue on the beaches of the Pearl Islands.
Okay. All right.
I do also think like it's pretty good that Sandra didn't win it because I could see her just kind of like belting Johnny Fairplay with it at times.
Yeah.
I mean, should they have given these people weapons? Where is the OH&S about this? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Do you guys have OH&S?
I was going to say, what does that stand for?
Occupational health and safety.
I don't think so.
I don't think America and occupational health together.
Yeah, fair. Sounds promising. Okay. All right. So better than DST.
Definitely better than DST. I mean, I'll just throw it out there. I think this has to be top tier.
You want it all the way at the top. Okay. Number one with a bullet for the Pearl Islands pistol
and a stab
and sword.
For sure. Okay. Worth playing for as an idol, forget you, go home, goodbye as a sex toy. And now we're doing both of the rankings. You can't stop it.
Okay.
I mean, listen, it is by far like the most unique. This is the only necklace to outright be, you know, like
necklace.
Exactly. Just sort of, it broke the mold from that perspective. It's the point where we never see it again.
Also, 100% no animals were harmed in the making of this one.
It's leather strap. I don't know.
I don't like that.
All right, we're going to take just a quick break from ranking Survivor's most iconic immunity necklaces, but we are very fortunate to have a woman who knows about fine jewelry here with us in the studio. It's the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cestrina. Nicole, do you have a favorite, most iconic Survivor immunity necklace?
I don't know. There's so many that are just like standouts.
I know. I know. All right. Well, we'll get back to talking with Mike and Shannon in just a moment. But let's thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Echelon Fitness. Nicole, what's going on with Echelon Fitness?
There is so much going on with Echelon Fitness. You need to sit down and listen.
Okay.
All right. Well, when it comes to getting or staying in shape,
is that good for my fitness to be sitting down? Should I be standing to get ready to get fit?
You need to zip it.
Okay.
When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself.
See, I hit my podcast goals. Not I wish the same. I don't always hit the same, same as my fitness goals.
No.
Podcast goals, you could do 2X. That would be great if I could do exercise at 2X.
Mm, that would be some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me introduce you to
you.
Can I finish what I'm saying here?
I'm not used to getting to be the person to respond to everything.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, let me introduce to you the Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness.
Hello, Echelon Fit.
This is some legit stuff right here, so pay attention. Echelon can get you to your goals, not your podcasting goals, mm-hmm. but your fitness goals.
Goals with a Z, yes. Mm-hmm.
Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and my favorite, the new Echelon Stride Smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon will give you fun and challenging workouts from the comfort of your home.
Well, I like that I don't have to go anywhere.
You shouldn't be going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
I like fun more than challenging, but I'm intrigued.
I'm really surprised you like fun.
Yeah, that's a low blow.
Yeah. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time.
Affordable.
That's a big deal because some other ones will break your bank.
Yes. Okay.
But
listen.
Echelon won't.
That's good to hear.
It is good. And right now you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days.
All right, Nicole.
30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/RHAP. That's echelonfit.com/RHAP.
echelonfit.com/RHAP. Nicole, I'm sorry to give you to yada yada you.
This is my thing.
Well, I appreciate you coming up here.
People need to meet me on the treadmill.
All right. Well, listen, that virtually.
Not my treadmill.
Yeah, yes. Okay. All right. We got to get back to talking about the necklaces.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, speaking of animals, let's jump ahead a bit here. And I apologize, Shannon, because these are parts that indeed did come from an animal. But it does stay on themes. We're going to go to season 10. We're going to Survivor Palau. Now, Survivor Palau was a very shark-focused season, and not just because they were being caught, but it was a theme in the aesthetic of the season, and that gets included here on the individual immunity necklace, which I think is simple, but very hard-hitting.
Okay, to our podcast listeners, we have what appears to be one half of a shark's mouth, filled with teeth from side to side, very sharp, potential ouch, do not touch. On the underside of the shark jaw, there are more, what looks like more shark teeth, perhaps mm-hmm. from a bigger shark that line the bottom of that. There are beads that adorn both sides of the necklace, two sort of soccer ball looking beads, followed by two orange beads, and topped off by a bead that one might mistake for a blueberry.
And maybe they did if they got hungry enough.
Mm, okay.
So that's how one of them choked to death.
The aesthetic of this is a little simplistic in its design. It doesn't nearly have as many like baubles and trinkets as a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about. But that being said, it's a half of a freaking shark's jaw.
Do you think it's a real shark jaw?
I would imagine. I don't know, actually.
Because I don't like that. Like,
I think
that
makes it is. Bad. Yeah, I don't know how you make a fake shark jaw.
You think a shark was actually, like, this is a real shark jaw?
Right, but I could imagine it's something where, like, they go to a dive shop, and if they had, like, you know, shark bones lying. Because I can imagine these are also, shark like, Well, I can imagine like these are things that like tourists might want to hang from their walls as well, which I don't
know. Oh, I hate that.
How much that contributes to the overall assessment of this, but it's definitely a striking image. You know, this is definitely one that I remember as well, considering that like you are wearing a mouth around your mouth, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a con and a pro. So my con is that like, well, there was an Australian survivor tribe immunity that was just like a cow skull. Which was kind of, I guess, like herd immunity before herd immunity was really a thing.
Actually, speaking of swords, I believe one of the Australian survivor immunity idols was a sword last season.
Yeah, they again, OH&S, not great in terms of these idols. But so I think this similarly will haunt my nightmares. My pro is that at least it's smiling. You know, like unlike the Borneo one, at least it seems happy.
Yeah, but that's only because of how it's hung. It could be upside down and be a frown.
But it's not.
They literally turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be happy because it's being murdered to have this necklace.
The one element that I question is the choice of deciding to line the bottom of the jaw with more shark teeth. You know, it feels like it's not really in line if you're trying to go for the aesthetic of a shark jaw to also have teeth outside of it. Like it's, yo, dog, I heard you like shark teeth, so I put shark teeth on your shark teeth.
Yeah, you reach diminishing returns with the shark teeth. I want to pitch something because I was thinking the beads were a little unnecessary. Like you've got shark teeth and then you have like craft beads that you would get in like a children's play kit. So do you think if you took out the beads, now we're redesigning, you take out the bottom shark teeth and you just have that really singular shark jaw, that would be like, I think it would have quite a presence about it.
Hmm.
Right. So interestingly enough, while we talk about it being one of the more simplistic ones, it's almost too complicated in that regard.
The double shark teeth have made it too garish. Personally, for me, I don't love the idea of jagged shark teeth right around my jugular.
That's very true. I mean, I don't know.
That's your opinion?
They didn't sharpen them. I guess maybe depending if there was someone they didn't like, they might have sharpened them up before giving them over.
Okay. All right.
But it's not as dangerous as some of the other ones we've seen.
Not as dangerous as the sword and pistol.
Yeah, this is not good for the vegetarian in me, so I'm not going to put it super high. I don't think a lot of thought went into the design.
Okay.
You know, I think it could have been a more thoughtful design, even with the murder.
So, more so about, okay, is Janu on the jury despite quitting? It always comes back to the jury system.
All right, let's see place this. And so I guess the first competition it's going to run into here, is it better or worse, higher or lower than our friend the Marquesas DST?
I like that we're abbreviating it for the family friendly version.
I mean, yeah, you've got DST, then you've also got SDT, Sandra Diaz Twine. I know which combination of those letters I enjoy more.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely think this is better. I think my question is, should it be bumped to Ain't No Hershey Bar? Because I think it's definitely, I don't know if it's better than like the Borneo, Africa, you know, Amazon trio.
So, Shannon, you think it's so bad that it should be right next to the Ratchet DST?
I think it should be Ain't No Hershey Bar. I'm just like, look at our criteria.
On its own tier, right.
It's not a double, you know, it's not extra purposes.
It's outside the box.
It's a bad sex toy for sure. Like, I think that, what else is it giving to you? Other than
I think it's a really cool idea that when you take a closer look at it, is maybe not as executed as effectively as you might think.
Okay. All right. So
it's also FFDST, fan favorite dog sex toy.
Well, certain fans.
Okay. All right.
It's actually OFDST, only fan favorite.
Ozzy is an immunity threat.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we're actually going to move into the very next season here. We are not bed hopping too much because we're going to go to Survivor Guatemala. And we are talking about a very interesting necklace that, again, I forgot about until it was brought up. But it is, I mean, essentially, if I called the Africa Muter necklace the color forms idol, this is the candy necklace idol.
Okay. All right. Well put, Mike. Let's describe it for our listeners at home. Okay. We have here, it looks like some sort of a green, color me mine piece that somebody made. It is kind of like a Medusa face who is making a very unhappy look. kind of has like ears jutting out from the side of it, wearing orange lipstick. It really does not look happy at all. It's wearing...
Well, because the color is totally red, not orange.
Yeah. It's wearing some sort of a helmet with sort of a big circle sticking out of the center third eye of sorts coming out of there. There's also a part that juts out of the head. I'm not sure if that's part of the helmet. And then, as Mike mentioned, that there are a number of blue beads that make up the necklace part of this that could look like that maybe in another world could be candy pieces if you wanted to bite into it.
I hope someone tried.
Judd did.
So, I can imagine.
Damn,
I mean,
man.
If the Borneo...
I thought this was a candy Borneo, necklace, man.
Piece of candy. If the Borneo necklace was sad, like, this necklace is horrified. Like, this necklace is seeing like its family die in front of it.
It's seen some stuff, absolutely. Which I think, given the ultimate fate of the Maya, I do think that does make sense.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, I don't know what to do with this necklace.
I see this. Yeah, this is why I wanted to bring it up, because it's such an interesting talking point. Because what I remember is like, as a necklace, like, it's actually not very good. Like, I remember it actually being very flimsy and actually not very easy to get on and off during Survivor Guatemala. So it like doesn't even work as a necklace. I'm just so astounded by, again, like, the choice to surround each and every inch of it with beads, not just sort of do with what the shark necklace did, which was just create the you know, hint of beads using like three or four a piece. This is filling the entire thing, sizing it up in particular all the way around, which is just such a weird choice. And again, the 90s kid in me cannot help but go back to like those disgusting candy necklaces that people would chew and just leave soggy strings.
I think it's a Legends of the Hidden Temple.
That's it as well. I do definitely get an Olmec vibe. This definitely does seem like one of the pendants that you would go for as the temple guards pop up and scare you.
I definitely do think this necklace that we've seen, like, of all the ones we've seen so far, is most likely to be like a cursed object.
Something
needs to trigger it for something very cursed to happen. They didn't make this necklace, did they? Like, because how would they have done? Like, I feel like they just got this like off like a tourism spot and just bought it straight.
Yeah, you think they're just going to sort of like shops at the airport on the way to...
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty sure there was a young art director by the name of Peter Brady who found this in the jungle and decided to take it back to camp with him.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look at our list and let's see
where this ends up going, because this is such a weird one. And I think we need to figure out where weirdness sort of falls within all this.
Okay. So here
this
it is.
This is definitely a necklace, though. And should it get points for, like, you know, some other ones aren't necklaces?
It's definitely better than DST.
Yeah, because again, this also, I think, gets some buffers in that, much like the shark jaw, it like has calls to the theme of the season as well in the specific location. Like, I don't think we're going to have any other seasons that have a Maya-esque totem on it.
Okay, does it get to the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier?
Just for me.
Okay.
Just so you think right below the shark jaw?
Yeah.
I think that's a good place. I think that the shark jaw is something I remember more. Like, again, much like production regarded Survivor Guatemala up until last season, sort of forgotten, I think, in the annals of Survivor history. And so I think it does make sense if it gets a little bit of a hit, because it is interesting looking, but I do think it unfortunately does not necessarily reverberate a lot in the minds of Survivor viewers.
The
plus aesthetic. Yeah, or the Mayans, and plus aesthetically, it's just it has some questionable choices behind it.
Okay, all right. So let's go ahead and let's look at our next necklace, Mike. What is it?
All right. Well, we're still going to keep on going through consecutive seasons here. We're going to season 12, and remember what we said about, you know, simplistic aspects in these early immunity necklaces? That is out the window, much like One World, which we are not talking about. We are going to Survivor Panama. I'm going to call this the ZZ Top beard of immunity necklaces, because this thing goes like all the way down to your belly button.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look at this one. We have here, this is, okay, we're going to start with a, imagine a wire circle necklace, okay, fill that up with beads, then on top of that, let's throw some animal bones on there, and then...
Why not?
In the center, got sort of like a like tiny doll, which with like a baby doll head with some sort of a stick figure body coming out of that, and then just beads all over the place. And then also you want to have a lot of string and fabric coming down from this. This looks like something you might see somebody wearing at Burning Man.
And only wearing that at Burning Man. Because again, it could cover a lot of body mass.
Well, that's, yes. I mean, it would give warmth. That's a dual purpose. But you know, like dream catchers?
Yes, this is a dream catcher.
This is a nightmare catcher.
Yes, very much. Well, because also I believe that the theme that wasn't really focused on in Survivor Exile Island was like a zombie theme, which I would imagine that little head, it might be like a shrunken head, for example. Like if you remember the Hidden Immunity Idol that season was a shrunken head. So maybe this is sort of like you see some bones in there. I don't know if those are human bones or animal bones or fake bones laying the top there. So I think they're trying to go for this like voodoo witch doctor type of aesthetic here.
Okay.
I'm trying to look at the facial reaction of the doll, because like what she seems quite at peace. Like
yeah, sleeping.
What is, would you, she's not happy or sad or traumatized like the last one. I think this is definitely a cursed necklace as well. And I would also say pick a lane. You go cursed doll, or you go animal bones, or you go tons of beads, or you go lots of string, but do you do all four? Do you do all of those things? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this has to be probably the most like cumbersome necklace we're going to experience here. Just because of the pure length of it. Like I cannot imagine having to wear this around. Like I would definitely hang this up at camp and leave it be for like the rest of the 3 days until I have to give it back to Jeff. It just seems like tough to wear around, you know?
Right. Is this my immunity necklace or is this a new tarp?
Yeah, very true. But to that point, this also might be one of like, you could see, like you said, Shane, like this has a dream catcher vibe to it. I could also see this being some sort of like necklace. Like it's an extreme necklace.
What universe, Mike? Who's wearing this?
No. I could see someone wearing like an extreme version of this to a certain extent.
If anything, turning around, it should be the immunity cape.
You're a superhero now.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, it's like so this is Exile Island.
This is Exile Island. Yeah. So basically,
it's crazy to think that cursed doll was Terry's only ally for like most of the merge.
Exactly. That was his best friend out there. And yeah, this is a crazy one. And that much like the shark jaw, only two people wore this necklace over the course of the season. So even if there were complaints around wearing it, only two people had to experience it in the first place.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look at it on the big board to see where it should go. Okay.
Yeah. This is going to be another interesting one because it is certainly memorable. Like I do remember just how gargantuan.
I absolutely don't remember it, which is really crazy to me. Like, I have such a bad memory for these things. It's like, how did this not kind of strike more of like an impact with me?
The question really is what is not memorable for Mike Bloom, who I feel like has almost every moment in Survivor history that had a moment's recall.
That's such a good point. It doesn't mean anything anymore when you say it's memorable, Mike. Mike will be like, it's memorable, just like those like incredibly tiny detail.
Yeah, just like second seven of episode 4 of Survivor South Pacific.
It doesn't count anymore. It's not memorable.
But I guess I have a different scale than other people.
Could it be worse than the DST?
No,
I don't think so. Okay. I think what this has going for it is definitely above the DST. I guess.
Does it get to that ain't no Hershey bar tier?
For me, it does.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how this compares with 10 and 11. You know, we have all these in a row. Are they all going to finish in a row as well?
I just think that we have qualified the forget you go home goodbye tier so strongly as the dog sex toy that you'd have to be like really bad to get to that level. So for me, just by not being that, you kind of get up. That should almost be its own tier. That's what's becoming difficult for me. So I would put it at Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Yeah.
Maybe I would put it here. Maybe I would do it in this order. Last in Ain't No Hershey Bar.
It's fine. Doesn't really do much for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it should be in My Life is Fine.
Well...
No, well, my Ain't No Hershey Bar is well, yeah, I mean, Rob is...
Ain't No Hershey fine. Bar is fine. You're saying these levels are meaning.
basically, yeah, but they're in ascending order, Shannon. That's what you have to remember.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at our next necklace that you found, Mike. Okay, ooh, what's this?
All right, so we're going to not Cook Islands, but Cook Islands 2. That is to say, Survivor Fiji. And of course, it's appropriate, Rob, that you had dreams heard on Talking with T-Bird the other day. Because this
dreams
is the necklace
catcher
that he
heard.
Yeah, exactly. That this is the necklace he oh so controversially won and did not choose to give up at the Final Four. This is one reason why, unfortunately, Thailand sort of bit the dust for this one, because this is sort of like a more spoopy version of Thailand. This is just, I mean, Rob, you don't even describe this. This is just straight up teeth. Straight up big old teeth.
Yeah, giant teeth imagine the ice spiders from the recent episode of The Mandalorian. Put that around your neck. That's what this is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a lot of really bad sex toys. And
or a really great night if you're going to invite certain people over.
Who?
Why?
You can invite so many friends over.
Oh,
I love how we actually made you answer the question. Yes. We were waiting. Yes. We're waiting for you to explain.
But I guess to clarify, I don't know if these are teeth. They might be tusks. I feel like there might be a sort of theme going on here.
And I was like, what? Whose teeth are those? But it looks like teeth because there are so many. Like literally that's like a giant smile or frown depending on which way it is. And I do feel that it contributed to some animal murder, possibly a lot of animal murder, which again, I don't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so pokey and no dual purpose, no warmth from it. And it's just like poking you.
Also so feel I also like, am not- you know, probably loud when you're walking around.
It's like a bell, like a cat with a bell. Yeah. Just like clank.
A lot of these things bumping into each other. Wind chimes.
But that means like you can really, you know, if people want to get down and dance some meke, you can do like a real hambone type of thing.
Yeah.
You're wearing your own percussive instrument.
You would end up just like with scars all over your body.
Well, I think they're sort of dulled down a bit.
You'll impale your eye, yeah.
I would also say...
Why would you think that? Like that's such an assumption for a show that gave a sword as an immunity necklace.
I mean, that's true as well. And maybe it's every seven seasons they put in a weapon, you know, just to mix it up a little
bit. See what happens, yeah.
Exactly. I do think out of probably all, not only the necklaces we're talking about, but all necklaces, this might be the most minimalistic. Because again, like there's no additional things. They just took teeth / tusks of different sizes and put them around a rope and said, tie this around your neck. This is what you wear now when you're safe.
Okay. All right.
Also, the tusks go up so high. It's like the whole thing is tusk.
Yeah, that's the thing as
too
well.
Much
is that there's not much to sort of like, there's no dangle to it. I do remember that it pretty much like, it's like a choker. It does go around your neck.
This is not like a sex toy, but this is like a different sex thing.
Okay. Let's look at the list. Let's see what's going on here. Okay. All right. Let's bring up our list and talk about our Fijian tusk necklace. Okay. All right. So the question is, will it surpass the Marquesas DST?
For me, it does, but I don't know if it gets up to the next tier.
Interesting. So you think it still might be forget you, go home, goodbye?
I just think like when you're creating a necklace like this, like who would want to wear this? Like they're just straight trolling.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted it.
Yeah, paid for it. But I just, like it's punishing the contestants when it's already so hot to be on Survivor.
But if I may argue the case for it, it's different. They went outside the box that I feel like that it is certainly memorable.
Yeah, that's memorable what I think it has going for it as well. Like I definitely have. Again, this is my, I guess, sliding scale. I definitely have images in my head of like dreams having it around his neck, for example, or like the lingering shot of them leaving tribal council after voting out Yao Man, and like this necklace is sitting on the summit. And maybe it also speaks to like how, I don't know, just how like how visceral that moment was, considering like it's a pretty visceral necklace as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember Yao Man, you know, getting it and dreams needing to give it up and then not, and then them voting him out. Like, I don't remember the necklace and doing that, though.
I mean, it has that history associated with it. I think it's better than the Exile Island necklace.
I would definitely say so. I think it's better than the Guatemala one as well.
All right. Oh, it's on the move.
I strongly disagree, though.
Where would you put it, Shannon?
I put it in Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye.
Like, oh,
that's
wow.
I feel like it's just painful, but I'm happy to just keep the dog sex toy there.
How about this? Then why don't we split the difference? Why don't we put it at the back of Ain't No Hershey Bar, but it's still in this tier?
Okay.
And we have room to play with it. It's not necessarily set in stone.
10 seasons have just finished run right after the other and ain't no Hershey bar.
Okay. All right. So,
although it is valued at the price of a car.
That's true.
I said the other necklace is
Super Duty. All right. Let's look at our next necklace. Mike, what are we looking at here?
We are going, so we're skipping ahead.
Micronesia.
We're skipping Micronesia.
That not memorable on the Mike Bloom scale.
We are going to Survivor Gabon. And after a little bit of time away, you know, we said Fiji super minimalist. We are back in the Panama opulence, if you were, with Gabon, which is just so much. There's so much going on with the Gabon necklace.
Yeah, there is a lot going on here. Imagine an autumnal wreath that you might have on your door this time of year, and then take a bunch of tikis and then glue them all together.
I think they're like African masks, I believe, like little African masks.
Yeah, okay. So then go ahead and go to and raid the home of the Keisha from Big Brother and take all those masks from her wall, miniaturize them, stick them in.
Yeah, use the shrink ray from Big Brother 22.
Yes, use the shrink ray. And then also throw a bunch of necklaces. This is a real grab bag mishmash here.
The thing that really gets me hung up is the straw. This thing is stuffed with hay. And if we talked about the feathers possibly causing a problem, the straw has to be by far. This has to be the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of material on a necklace, because I cannot imagine having to walk around with itchy straw all day.
Yeah, this is ugly and also, yeah, not comfortable.
Let's not ignore the obvious. Like, this is not a necklace. Where does it even go around your neck? Like, it's barely a necklace.
Your head sticks in the hole.
That's a tiny little hole.
Is there a clasp here, Mike?
I believe there's a clasp.
So the one thing I appreciate about it is I feel, besides the Pearl Islands one, of all the necklaces we've seen, I feel this represents its season the best, and that it's like a dumpster fire of a necklace.
Yes.
That is true. It's a nice microcosm of like, wow, we don't know what's going on in Gabon, and neither does this necklace.
How is it going to end? We don't know. Where does it start? Where does it begin? I don't know. Big explosion in the end.
Yeah. I'd like to add also that this necklace is also ratchet.
Yeah, I mean, it really just has, there's really like, there's not even symmetry going on with the African mask. No. They clearly just threw a bunch on there to see what happens. I mean, this is, wow.
Yeah.
Is it the biggest eyesore that we've seen so far?
This is the junk drawer necklace. This really is, of just like, let's take all these little ding dongs and baubles and throw them onto something. I mean, we'll talk about probably immunity idols in a future podcast, but like, now I could honestly see Bob Crowley's fake idol like falling in line with this aesthetic, even though this does way more than Bob's idol does.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can place this one on the board. So let's go ahead. Mike, well, how would you describe this Gabon wreath?
Yeah, I mean, I think wreath is a great way to describe it. Like, I think it is less so something you would associate with putting around your neck and more so something you would put up on your door. You'd be like, yes, I visited Kenya over the winter and I picked this up. It's all of the little things we picked up along the way in the savannah. And I've adorned it.
Is there elephant dung in there?
Oh, Lord. Well, it would have started a nice fire if that was the case. So again, there's a lot of straw in there, so it probably is flammable AF anyway.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Gabon wreath nail.
Yeah, come on, wreath. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, yeah, this might have to be in Forget You Go Home Goodbye, in my opinion. Like, okay. I think because it's something that I don't remember even. Like, I feel like it's garish, but not garish enough where I'm like, oh God, I remember how terrible looking it was.
Yeah. Is it Garish Adelstein?
Okay. Eating chicken right now at the poker table.
So Shannon, all right, we're in the attack zone. Gabon wreath versus the Marcation DST.
I still think, just for like, I mean, ironically, we're ranking things on iconicness, and clearly now the DST now is more iconic to us. But I think we should put that last, and we should put this above it because it's super, super ugly. But I don't think is funnily ridiculous as the DLC.
Yeah.
Is it above this tier? Is it in the same forget you, go home, goodbye? The season in which that line was uttered.
It deserves to be in its own season.
Yeah, it feels only right that it ends up resigning in this and that it does go home. In fact, its home is this tier.
Yes. Okay. Next to the Marcation. Yeah,
that's DST. A beautiful story.
Okay.
It found its way home.
Go to your home. Go to your home. Okay. All right. Now, Mike, what are we looking at here?
We're going to kick off another string of consecutive seasons here. We went back to Brazil and we're going back to Feathers. So we are going to the Survivor Token Sheens immunity necklace.
Russell Feathers.
Which actually was worn very memorably by someone who said that quote in a future season, because this is one that actually became a headdress for a brief portion of time. This thing is just feathers upon feathers with like some little tiki fascinators and like a big ass pendant in the middle of it. But it really took it took the feather idea from Survivor the Amazon and just completely ran away with it.
Okay. Yes. All right. So we have sort of a hubcap in the center, which is going to be part of a maze, part of a chain with a number of other trinkets, sort of like a Pandora chain with some ornaments on the left, some skulls. I'm not sure if that's another version of a skull. And then feathers all the way around, red, blue, yellow, green, to round out the Survivor Token Sheens immunity necklace.
I like this a lot. Like, for me, I think I'm going to be putting this top tier. Not as high as the sword, because the sword is super iconic, but like, this is, I think, probably the best looking one we've seen. It's quite pretty with all the very vivid colors. I don't know if any animals were murdered in that, but I don't think so. Like, I think that this hits a good kind of point between having quite a bit and having it be like quite a spectacle without then overdoing it.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen some idols that have this and then 15 other things where it kept it to the feathers and a couple of little trinkets. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can understand now why JT won unanimously, because he won the necklace so many times and he would tickle people with it to really get everyone's spirits up back at camp.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is, I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't want to skip ahead to the rating. I would put this probably second behind the sword. I think it is an iconic immunity necklace. I think it helps that Tyson did indeed wear it as a headdress that one time. And I think the aesthetic behind it is really cool. Like, really, really cool.
So, and I kind of want this.
Whoa. Okay. It sounds like to me, though, if I'm listening to you, if I'm like the immunity necklace focus group, sounds like that feathers are a big win. If I'm the art department here, I'm thinking, how do we get more feathers in the immunity necklace? Sounds like that feathers are a big hit.
Well, I think it helps that we're going to kind of say farewell to feathers after this. That, you know, feathers really only apparently appear when you're in Brazil. So I think the fact that we really haven't seen them, much like a shark jaw or something, like, we're going to see so many tiki heads in Survivor history that, like, they're so run of the mill. So when you see something like a feather, like, oh man, I haven't experienced this. Like, let me take it in as much as I can, because I know I'm never going to see this again.
All right. So I think that this is probably going to go up to My Life is Fine at the very least, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Better than the Borneo bare bones finger paint item.
Yeah, feathers beat bare bones.
Okay. All right. Better than the immunity bib from Survivor Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right.
Does it, be a bit, I mean,
okay. Ways. Does the student now become the teacher? And does it pass the original feather necklace from Survivor the Amazon?
Not only does it become the teacher, Rob, it becomes the coach. I think it passes
it. Well done.
It's the knowingest know-it idol.
Okay. Does it go to the worth playing for tier?
I would say so. Okay. Yeah.
Is it better than Pearl Islands?
No, I think its trajectory stops there. I think just the sword is just so cool that I think as nice as it is to look at the Token Sheens one, like, just the novelty, I think, of the sword and scabbard is going to put it almost like in a tier on its own.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Token Sheens stop right there at second place. Okay. All right. Let's look at our next item.
I love Token Sheens second place.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. I think the someone who once called this podcast an outrage would be a very fitting finish.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And it's right because it's like, it's great. It did so well, but it's like, can you beat the amazingness of first place? Difficult to do that. But that shouldn't take away from how well second place is done.
All right. Mike, what are we going to look at next?
So we're going with another one, a bit of an out-of-the-box one, because this one goes super simplistic. We're going to the very next season, and while the focus has been around the immunity idols in Survivor Samoa, the immunity necklace is, I think, definitely something worth discussing, because even though it does not feature Sandra Diaz Twine, it features a hell of a lot of Twine as a feature.
This one is super ugly. This is like a fishing hook attached to a vine with some little tiles hanging off of it and some animal teeth wrapped up in string. It is all brown and up against this wooden post. Almost difficult to see that there is a hidden or a necklace here. Maybe that's why Russell was so good at finding the idols, because it was hard enough to find the necklace this season.
Camouflaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
also
this,
a weapon.
The thing that it really drew me to this is the you know, describe them as sort of tiles, Rob. They look to me just like tags.
Like dominoes.
They forgot to take the price tag off of the necklace when they bought it at the flea market.
Like if you walk out of the gift shop and they don't take this thing off, then the alarm is going to go off.
Exactly. So they're like, oh, we don't have the thing to remove it. Like, oh no, the ink's going to spill if we cut into it. I guess we'll just leave the tags on the necklace.
Leave the tags. I like to live dangerously in case I want to return it. Okay.
Yeah, so this is one that I didn't necessarily remember, because again, I think the hook aspect was actually something that carried over to a lot of the idols that season, but the tags are just so confounding to me personally.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say it's very ugly. Like, it's very drab. It you know, it's got no color.
Boring.
Boring. And that's almost worse, you know? Like, you would rather something was like horrifically ugly, I think, than just like so plain.
Yeah, again, it's that Streisand effect.
Go big or go
home.
This
is like the Who of the idols? No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They mailed it in on the Survivor Samoa.
The least keeper necklace. Award of immunity necklaces.
Yes. Not even memorable to Mike Bloom. Okay. All right. So let's.
Mike, I remember this exact moment. Mike knows. But for everyone else, it's not memorable.
All right. Let's look at our list here and see where the hook necklace from Survivor Samoa is going to land on our list. Does it crack the bottom tier, the forget you, go home, goodbye tier?
I think it might.
It doesn't deserve to be as low as something as memorable as Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye. You know, you need more presence about you, I think, to be that bad.
Okay. Is it better than the Fijian tusk necklace?
I don't think so.
I think it is, probably. I mean, it's just nothing. Like,
You have your own
you
agenda
hate,
here.
You hate the tusk necklace.
I hate the tusk necklace.
At least...
It makes you to look at.
What I'll say again about the tusk necklace, at least they tried. At least they came up with something. This was, hey, bring me the tackle box.
Exactly. This could legitimately look like a fake immunity necklace that someone made with some fishing gear in an afternoon off.
Didn't you create an idol that was meant to look like a fake idol and then get it tattooed on you?
Well, yeah, we will get to that on a future podcast. I think there is a special tier worth the idol that I picked to go into the game of Survivor 39.
Okay.
I just think that like it's so meh that it should be like right in the middle. Like it should be a place where you would miss it kind of going through the tiers.
But this is the most iconic immunity necklace. And I would rather, you know, have things, you know, I'd rather bury it like, you know, down here than even give it like a recognition for being so terrible.
I think we should put it in the middle of the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier, because then it's like we'll just kind of gloss over it.
No, I still like the Panama and Fijian necklaces more than this one, though.
Okay.
That's fair. Okay. Right. Well, I've been outnumbered. It's fine.
All right.
It's okay. It didn't stop Russell from being outnumbered.
That's true. I have now played
keep
in
hope alive for Samoan necklace. Okay. All right.
All right. So let's jump ahead. Let's go to the 20s here and let's church it up in a manner of speaking, because I think we're going to talk about the only
Were All-Star seasons not eligible for your list, Mike?
I want to see, maybe Heroes versus Villains might be one to touch upon in a future installment.
Well, actually, I think it's an interesting point, because I feel like that in a lot of these seasons that we're talking about, that the immunity necklaces are sort of evocative of the culture of the season that we're at, whereas the all-star seasons are a little bit more, the theme is all-stars.
Right, exactly. So like Survivor All-Stars, for instance, was basically just a necklace with a bunch of coins on it. That really just did not look very good. The Micronesia, again, was just like a bunch of tikis because they had already been to Palau before. Heroes versus Villains was interesting. It was basically just a bunch of tikis squished next to one another with like a surprise green one sticking out of it. But I want to go to Survivor Nicaragua because I believe this is the only necklace so far that has incorporated a piece of, I'll say, religious iconography into it. It's a very interesting piece of, it's not the gold that Thailand provides, but it's gold in a different way. And as Eve said once upon a time, and receiving the medallion of power, winners carry gold.
Okay. All right.
Is this the only podcast where we're like, we're going to be skipping over Heroes versus Villains and going straight to Nicaragua?
Yes. Now on Netflix, we'll skip over that one. Okay. No spoilers for that one. All right. So, what we have here is that, the cross of Coronado that Indiana Jones thought one time should belong in a museum is at the center of what looks like a belt of pennies, which adorn the large cross crucifix in the middle. Is it a crucifix? Is there, if there's no Jesus? Shannon, you're our expert.
Yeah.
As a Jew, I have no comment on this. I feel I want to.
It's a cross. Plead the fifth. It's a cross. I think maybe.
I don't want to say anything about it. Of the whole necklace, as a Jew, I want to avoid a lot of stereotypes about how this is damaging for me.
If you were in Nicaragua and you had won the necklace, would you have given it up, a la the aforementioned Joanna Ward, of like, I cannot wear this?
Because of all the money or because of the cross?
The cross.
Because it's not great. It's not a great necklace for Jews, I'm going to say, as a Jew.
Were there any Jewish contestants in Survivor Nicaragua?
I don't believe at the final 12, I don't believe there were.
Do you think how offensive this necklace is, you know, made change the casting, that they were like, we can't put a Jew on with this incredibly offensive necklace?
Well, I don't know necessarily if what the cross necessarily meant in Nicaraguan culture. I'm not sure.
I did also forget that, of course, Benry, devout Orthodox Jew on Survivor Nicaragua, of course.
Yeah. So I don't, I'm not exactly sure. That being said, it's nice.
It's such an interesting idea, because I mean, this is where they really steered into a lot of the symbolism in this. Like, I remember LaFleur had the, of course, Fleur de Lis on it, which would become
An idol?
Exactly. So if only Adam Klein had played in Nicaragua when he was like 10 years old, then it would have been a very different situation with him trying to play his own buff. But it definitely is one of the most prominent centerpieces of a necklace that we have experienced. But yeah, I think maybe the unsung part of the necklace are indeed all of the pennies that just seem to be around this. Like, they fished through a wishing well at the local Nicaraguan mall and just pasted them on.
Yeah, Penny Otwell.
This looks like it would be a loud one as well. This is definitely the cat with the bell
one. Yeah, this and the Jasmine can join their own little street band to make some music.
Okay.
I half expect that to be the next task in the Amazing Race. It's like, you've been given these necklaces.
Yeah, next to the garbage cello.
Okay, all right.
It's like a tambourine a little bit. Kind of.
It kind of does look like a tambourine.
Yeah, can you play it?
I think
it's like a religious tambourine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it really takes you to church, in a manner of speaking.
Okay, all right. So, I guess let's talk about where it should go.
A lot of these, I'm feeling like, I feel very meh about it. Is it coming from the Tokenshin's bright colors to this very drab coloring that I'm just like, it's not doing it for me?
It also might not help that these are the seasons that are not well regarded as well. Do the necklaces go part and parcel with that?
Okay. So let's go ahead and see if we can rank our Nicaraguan cross penny belt. Okay, so it would be I don't know if it would work as a belt.
I mean, I don't know. I think any of these could work as a belt as long as you tied it off properly.
Certainly the holster.
They barely work as necklaces. Like, this doesn't look like it would sit well on, like, the human form.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So, our Nicaraguan cross. Okay. Does it escape, forget you, go home, goodbye?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's new, unique enough and not, like, garish enough that I think it does escape that fear.
Okay. Does it beat the Samoan fishing hook?
I think it does. I think it's less camouflaged and more outstanding than the Samoan fishing hook and tags.
Again, with the gold cross of Coronado and the pennies, it does feel like it's treasure.
Right, exactly. Like, it feels like that theme, that unintentional theme of Nicaragua was like sort of basing conquistadors, right? We'll get to this maybe in a future podcast, but the Tribe Immunity Island was literally like a bust of a conquistador. So a lot of their stuff was all about drawing into that theme of gold and treasure.
Hmm.
I also think, like, you know, let's talk about the canon here. Let's talk about that production meeting where it's like, we're going to either go with Medallion of Power or Fire Tokens. They go with Medallion of Power. They don't have anything else to do with the Fire Tokens. They attach it to the necklace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Interesting. Okay. So you think the Fire Tokens are part
Could
of this
Could you break
now?
This off? Yes. Yes.
You get so much peanut butter with this necklace.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is like Natalie level of Fire Tokens.
All right. Is the... Nicaraguan cross necklace better than the Fijian tusk necklace?
To me, it is. But you know, I hate the tusk.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I don't think so, personally.
You don't think so?
You're way too high on the tusk, Mike.
I like the tusks.
It's the wrong take.
The tusk has a musk, and I'm smelling it.
Whoa.
Okay, you've made me hate it more. I'm going to have to argue to put the tusk down a tier now.
Yes. Okay.
Mark
just
said the phrase, the tusk has a musk, and I'm smelling it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because hashtag tusk musk.
Okay. The tusk has a musk, and I'm smelling it. Mike Bloom.
2020.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead, Mike. What do you have next for us?
So we're skipping ahead. I apologize to those of you that were waiting to talk about Redemption Island, South Pacific, and One World. They will not talked about in form. We're going to Survivor Philippines, which saw a resurgence not only in Survivor proper, but in the necklaces, because we have a sort of like, I would say like Survivor goes Egypt a bit here with probably the biggest necklace we have seen since Panama.
Okay. All right. Let's see if we can describe what's going on here with the Survivor Philippines necklace. So we have three levels here of
tusk?
Yeah, I don't think it's tusk.
No, I don't smell anything.
Yeah. Yes. So but it looks like three levels of like a circular horn, which it looks like there are engravings all across. But more interestingly, the underneath the circular horns, we have a piece that connects in the center to, I don't know exactly what this is. It looks sort of like a red marble billiard ball. In the center, blood red.
They took the 12 ball from the Ponderosa and just decided to put it on the immunity necklace.
Yeah, maybe it's sort of, it looks like that if you had 50 cents at the supermarket and got like a super high bounce ball out of there, and it was blood red, that's what it would be. Are those whales on these sides?
Yeah, I think there are other whales, because they did have the whale watching reward. So maybe they're whales. They're definitely fish of some kind.
Okay. And then underneath, we have sort of like a little dangly mini dream catcher.
This looks so heavy. Like, I feel like when Malcolm won this coming from that thing, it was like, remove the stone of shame, attach the stone of triumph, and just putting it around his neck. So it loses points for that because I genuinely feel like you would be buckling under it. But to me, it's visually pleasing. Hmm. More visually pleasing than most of the idols so far.
I would say this is probably the thing that you would see like at Fashion Week, right? Like, I could see this being
I've been to a lot of Fashion Weeks, Mike, and I don't know what you think Fashion Week is, but I've never seen this before.
I'm assuming it's just a week where I go to Old Navy and I buy a bunch of fashion. That's my first Fashion Week. but yeah, I think
Do
this
you have
is
anything in a tusk?
Exactly. Where's your tusk section? I think this is something that legitimately looks like a piece of jewelry, though, like that could be worn outside of the game of Survivor.
Yes.
It's pretty. It's unfortunate that there's so many levels to it that it just looks so heavy. Like, I don't think they needed the three levels above. It could have just been the necklace coming down into the incredibly
concentric circles.
Yeah. But I still think it's much more visually appealing than almost any other thing we've seen.
Yeah, it's a good thing that Denise didn't win this necklace, because I think that she would have toppled over.
She did win it once, but I think luckily she was fine enough, I suppose.
Oh, okay. It was a men's and a women's. Did they break? How'd they do that? How'd they break it up?
How'd they do that?
That was the I think they just had two of them, yeah. And so she won one. Maybe she got a lighter one, and Carter got the heavier one, which he himself probably would have toppled over considering how skinny he was.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I don't know what we're doing with this. I also feel like that red ball in the middle, I feel like that this is sort of like a curse necklace, like where you put it on.
This is like something where you trap like the Sultan's soul in it, yes. You know, when he looks to it.
Yes. It's like putting on the ring in Lord of the Rings and you just become like a very evil person.
Yeah, this is very much the Eye of Sauron contained inside of a Philippines necklace.
Okay.
I think that would make it even heavier just having all the souls in it as well. So.
All right.
But it's pretty. I mean, it's going to go high, I'm telling you.
I think it's going to go pretty high. I think this is going to be our first one in a while to at least get up to the My Life is Fine tier.
All right. Let's see. Okay. So let's go ahead and put the Philippines. What do we want to call this one?
Amulet.
Amulet. Ooh.
The amulet necklace.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and bring the necklaces in. Okay. All right. So here we go. All right, so we're going to start it off at My Life is Fine.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really above a lot of these ones from like the 10s and 20s that are sort of like either not the best or kind of meh or plain ugly. I think this is aesthetic, and I think it's just a very unique design. It's maybe a bit much, but I don't know. I like what it does here.
Okay. All right. So is it better than Borneo?
Yeah. And that it looks like jewelry that wasn't made by a child.
Okay. All right. Is it better than the Africa Immunity bib?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say
so. And
that
it could also be a bib.
It could also be a bib as well.
It could be a little bibby.
A bit harder to clean, but I think, you can't throw this one in the washer.
Okay. No. All right.
What about the soles? Just round and round.
All right. Then we also have our Survivor Amazon original OG feather necklace.
So this is where it is for me. I don't know if it's going to be below or above this one. I'm trying to figure it out.
It's better looking.
Okay.
It would survive a fire.
But like, I think the Amazon one, I think, is involved in more iconic moments than the Philippines one.
To you, Mike. Like, I don't remember any either of these necklaces. No, I do remember Rob winning it, but I couldn't have told you what it looked like. Now I'll remember it forever.
I don't know. I think that... I've seen enough with the Survivor Philippines necklace.
I'm not that
impressed with it.
Why?
I think Rob is pretty protective of the Amazon necklace, to be fair.
Not even that. I just feel like that this necklace, I would not wear it to Fashion Week. I don't...
Would you wear to Fashion Week?
I would wear...
Sword.
Sword.
You can turn out of Fashion Week.
Yes.
You came with a gun and a sword.
No guns allowed.
I don't know how you guys do it in America, but you can't come to Australian Fashion Week like that.
I think it depends where Fashion Week is held, Shannon.
Exactly.
So
yeah, the OHS is definitely not on it. I'll say that.
Yeah, I don't think it's that great, the Survivor Philippines Immunity Necklace. It has less to do with me being protective of the Amazon and more to do with I'm just not blown away by the Philippines necklace.
What do you say?
I think this is a fine resting place for it, though.
You guys are very much in agreement with your rankings, and I just have opinions. Anyway, that's fine. Outvoted.
That's what this podcast is all about.
Okay.
What? Outvoting me until I get upset and leave?
No.
Are we in danger of losing you?
Are you going to rage quit this?
Yeah. Rank something I don't agree with one more time.
Okay.
Make one more sex reference, and I'm out.
You're the one who's doing it.
All right.
So you obviously can't. Mike, who do you think coined it? I know it was like an hour ago at this point. Who do you think coined the sex toy thing? Does it sound like something I would do? Or does it sound like something you did?
People can rewind. If you're just tuning in right now, an hour and 30 minutes in, go back an hour and you'll find out.
If you've woken up, I'm telling you, it was Mike. Does it sound like something I would do?
All right. Mike, if you just woke up, just go back to sleep.
Good morning.
Just go back to sleep. All right. What is this next necklace?
All right, so we're actually going to the very next season, and this is one that, I'll be honest, was not really on my radar, but a lot of patrons seem to point it out. We are going to Survivor Caramon, which may not be that much of a badass season, but has kind of a badass necklace.
Okay. A lot of patrons requested this immunity necklace.
Yeah, so it's going with the teeth theme again.
Are those teeth or claws?
So the wiki page says teeth, but if you, they're sort of bandied all about in fabric. So it kind of looks like, if you're wearing it, almost look like you're a vulture. But you have that sort of like, ooh, ruffle to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It looks like that if you were going to have like sort of like be wearing some sort of like ammunition magazine around your neck, but instead of bullets, there were talons coming out of them. That's kind of what this is, with a tiny bird skull in the middle.
I think that's a bird. I hope that's a bird.
Yeah. And the Robinson Pike's patrons, this is the kind of thing they like?
They were ones that pointed it out. Again, Caramoan is a season that
I didn't really take them as like a Faces of Death crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you realize how many juggalos are among your patrons, Rob. Have you surveyed them?
Yeah, who knew?
But yeah, this is an interesting aesthetic, because again, I do feel like sort of like the candy cane-esque aspect of the way that bands are put around these teeth give it a distinctive look from even something like Fiji, where
when you say the candy cane aspect, what do you mean by that?
Alternating colors.
Okay.
Who would look at that and see a candy cane in any capacity?
Well, that's Shannon, I don't know. Do you know your way around candy canes the way you do around crosses? Are you one to judge?
I have no comment. I have no horse in this race.
Okay. You and Benry, stay in the corner.
All right, Shannon, what do you think of this?
This is another cursed one. The skull, like, as if it wasn't creepy enough to have talons, just like so many talons, they had to go with a skull.
I don't like the skull, that the skull is missing a mouth. That feels bad to me.
This is like a Voldemort skull. Like, there's something weird going on.
He has his nose.
Yeah, but just barely. It's too human-like for me.
Yeah,
I don't want them to be big skulls. Yeah. This is really, really ugly, patrons.
With all due respect to the patrons.
How is this important to you? You have as bad taste as Mike does.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and see where this goes on our big list. All right. Is it in the For You or Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye tier?
So that's my question, is like, are we now, should we put this in the back of the Ain't No Hershey Bar thing? We're like, it's forgettable, but it's not ugly enough to be part of that Gabon and Marquesas.
Well, let me, Shannon, what do you think?
I would drop it down a tier, because you know how much I hated even just the tusks, the smelly tusks. This is like a lot of that energy, and then it added like more evilness and like a whole skull. Not in a way that made it, I think, more iconic, not in a way that made it more visually pleasing, but just in a way that just terrifies me more.
I mean, does it help if you imagine John Cochran wearing this?
That is actually kind of funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's so dangerous.
Yeah. So for me, I feel like that the bottom tier is reserved for the things that are just a mess. Like, what is going on here? This is not necessarily like a mess, but it's very dark and grim.
Yeah, this is sad.
Like Caramo in the season.
This is a Horcrux.
This is something where, you know, when Brenda said, "Don, take out your teeth," I think she meant this necklace.
No, she meant the immunity necklace. Yeah,
exactly.
Way too many teeth. Yes. Teeth references in the season.
All right.
Imagine if she took out her teeth and just was. Anyway, yeah, it's a cursed necklace.
Very cursed necklace. All right. Mike, what will we look at next?
Let's round the bend here and let's move into the 30s. And we start at the top of the 30s with Survivor Worlds Apart. We're going a bit nautical here for the Dirty 30, as we are talking about a compass centerpiece of a very nautical themed necklace.
Okay. All right. This one has a lot going on here. Let me try to talk this through. All right. We have a broken compass in the center of...
I know it's broken.
It does not look like it's working.
Maybe it's just pointing... That's where North was in that particular picture.
Perhaps.
Working compass, EBD.
Then it's not necessarily like a necklace. It looks like there's like two sticks tied together to make an X, then along the sides of the X are a number of seashells, some dangly, some more in place. Looks like there's also, we've combined some crystals also underneath. Ooh. There. So for you crystal heads out there, a little something for you. So maybe that's
not the crystal who created our final tier.
No, no. And then there's also, is there some like bamboo that's also off to the side that's sort of like shaped like a dead fish?
What? Oh, is that Will Sims? Is he making up? Is he photobombing this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So basically, like, do you see that? Is it like some bamboo with like some sort of like a dorsal fin sticking out?
Oh, I sort of see what you're talking about. I think it's, yeah, it's the way that the sticks are cutting into the bamboo that they sort of make like a triangular shape.
Yeah. And then let's just tie it all together with some giant rope.
So I don't think this one class, but I will go that far. I think you just have to put the gargantuan piece of rope around your neck.
Yeah.
The rope looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's a major rope burn.
Yeah, it's like a tug of war rope is the back part of this necklace.
That's why you truly need a collar to put this thing around so it doesn't grind up against your neck.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because visually, it's a mess. It's definitely a mess, but it's like kind of visually appealing to me. Like the color palette kind of works. I mean, I wouldn't say I like it, but I don't hate it. Definitely like no animals murdered for this. I think the crystals are quite pretty. The compass is maybe one of the nicest centerpieces that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So much better than a cross, so much better than a skull. If, you know, ding, marry, kill, cross, skull, compass, I'm marrying the compass.
Mm-hmm. Ding the DST.
but like, what does this have to do with the season? Like, why is this on?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is like,
we're back in Nicaragua. We already used the cross once.
But this has nothing to do with the
theme. Worlds Apart has such a weird aesthetic, because if you remember, so the tribe immunity idol was the infamous like walking effing stick, the stick that had like the hat and the little body to it. The immunity idols were like little wooden medallions that had like a scorpion and a monkey on it. And then this is a compass and a bunch of sea glass and seashells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like
maybe
a shipwreck.
They're worlds apart. They're trying to find their way back to each other with the compass.
Mm. Interesting. Like, oh, you need to navigate your way back.
Yeah.
And then X marks the spot and crystals.
Crystals will help you get there.
All right. Let's see what we're going to do with
this is going to be an interesting one.
Worlds apart necklace. All right.
I'm ready for agreeing.
Hmm. All right, so let's see. Will it avoid the bottom tier to start things off? Okay.
Starting at bottom tier. Like, that's crazy to me. Hmm. Like, you could wear this at Fashion Week.
Yes.
It's got crystal.
Yes, okay. It is like a little bit of like a Flavor Flav vibe here with the compass.
You
in the
know
middle.
What direction it is, boy.
All right. So, Shannon, should we move it up to Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Ain't No Hershey Bar is coming as crowded as a modern jury box.
Yes. All right. Better than the Karamo and Vulture Idol.
Yes, I would say so.
Okay. Better than the Samoa Fishhook Idol necklace.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Not in this TF, but you can just, you know, my opinion.
All right. Better than the Nicaraguan Cross Belt Pennies.
Yes, cross belt.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like a bad version of hot cross buns.
Yes. Mike, are you enjoying the musk of the Fijian tusk better than this compass necklace?
I don't think I'm enjoying any musk coming from the Dirty 30. This is tough, because I agree, like, somehow the aesthetic works.
What? No, I can't. I'm not. We're literally sitting here and seeing if this fairly visually appealing compass is better or worse than the smelly tusks. Like, that is not, there's not a
do we know if the tusks smell, or is that just a supposition from Mike?
It's kind of now.
Did you ask Dreams, Rob? Did you do the work for us?
I forgot to ask him that.
Yeah, Dreams, that's exactly the kind of questions we want from these old school survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
did the necklace smell?
You should ask it in the future just in case we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've said in this podcast is canon. The tusks smell bad. This necklace is not in the same conversation as the smelly tusks.
All right, keep it going then. Shannon, should it be up to My Life is Fine?
Yes, but okay. Mike's not going to agree.
The only thing I would put this below might be the shark. I think the shark is really cool. And I don't... And I feel like the hot mess value of Worlds Apart and its necklace might be slightly below the appeal that the shark jaw has.
So if I had my way, which I'm clearly not going to, okay. I'd be putting it above the bib.
Putting it above the bib. So a whole tier higher.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rob? You're the tiebreaker here.
So I did not remember this. I mean, for me in my head, if I close my eyes, can I think of what the idol looked like in that season or the necklace looked like in that season? I could not. I do remember the bib. I remember like Lex wearing the bib, Ethan wearing the bib. So the bib to me, I think, is memorable. This I do think is a interesting and appealing design. It's not gross. It's not ratchet. So that helps it. I could see it at the back of My Life is Fine or even the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar, but I have a hard time bumping it past Borneo.
Fancy Fancington on that one, going right in the middle of where.
I think that's a good negotiation.
I can settle for in back of My Life is Fine, okay. Below Borneo.
Okay.
It's fine.
All right. Let's keep going. Well, we're in the 30s now.
We're in the 30s now, and we're going to just jump to the very next season. We are going to Survivor Cambodia, new location. So that means new inspiration. And indeed, I do think this is a very opulent sort of necklace that I think could also function as like a pseudo immunity vest, if you will.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we've gone outside the box here and let's talk about this. Yes. This is almost like some sort of like Olympic medal crossed with maybe something that you would get from the Wizard of Oz, that this is a...
Oh, like the wizard would give it to show you that you had immunity the entire time.
You had immunity the whole time. And this is just to represent that you were immune from every single vote. You had no idea, but you were. Okay. So there is a piece of red fabric, which I do not know if there is a clasp in the back. Mike, did your research say that there was?
I'm going to assume the vast majority of the time that there is going to be a clasp in the back because they want to make it sort of like a one size fits all type of necklace.
Yes. And then it is.
How embarrassed would you be if like a giant head didn't fit through the neck? like ripping it.
No. Mm-hmm. It is adorned by a sort of like a gold, almost like a thing that you would put like a Tony Stark's crystal into.
the arc reactor.
Yeah. Then underneath that there is, would you say, is that a bird, a frog? Some sort of a like gold pattern of an animal.
I've seen a lion.
A lion.
Oh, it's like a Rorschach
test.
Yes,
a gold Rorschach test.
How could you possibly see a frog? I can see the bird.
You don't
I
think see it's a frog?
It could be a frog with really long arms, maybe.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Short legs on the bottom. And then...
It's like a lion's face.
Yeah. I think, I could see that too. Yeah, I could see all these things.
That's cool.
Then...
I see one of like the Quiznos things.
What's a Quizno thing?
You know, the thing that's like, hey, Quiznos!
But your mind's not working the same way ours.
Sponge monkeys, that's what they're called, sponge monkeys.
Gold flakes also adorn the sides as gold leaves drop down. This is a beautiful immunity necklace.
Yeah,
this is memorable to me, which means something.
Yeah, I would wear this.
This is something that
not even the Fashion Week.
I think this kicks the crap out of something like Thailand. This shows like what bling can be when it comes to immunity. I think it's very memorable. I think it's very different as well. It's sort of like cloth-esque in that it's one of those ones that sits naturally on the body as well. It's a soft necklace, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
I think it would weigh a good amount where it wouldn't be too heavy. I think, it looks like kind of like a felt. You wouldn't want to be getting it wet, so you'd have to keep that in mind, which might be a bit of a nuisance, but...
Which was tough in Cambodia, because they were getting wet all the time, and they had to... Remember when they had to get into shelter?
That's true. So, but I think it looks very opulent. It looks like something that would be awarded to someone who won a challenge, which you can't say for a lot of these necklaces. And I like it. I can't stop seeing the lion. I like that you could spend a lot of time at camp You know, it's kind of like the dress game or Laurel and Yanni. Like, what is this? So yeah, it's a game. Yeah,
Laurel and Yanni is going to be a couple seasons from now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I like it.
So let's rank this. Let's see. This is a latecomer to the party.
I think this is going to be a pretty high finisher. I mean, I think we're looking at least My Life is Fine or better.
All right. So let's take a look at our rankings here and see where we're going to go. All right. So let's take a look and we'll see. Here we go. Let's get our new necklace here. Is this a different picture?
Yeah, all the way on the, it's okay. A different picture. Yeah, I got it from a different angle.
All right, different angle. Ooh, first
you
threw me
so
off.
Much work on it.
Threw me off. Okay, all right. So let's see. Better than Ain't No Hershey Bar. Is it Up to My Life is Fine?
I definitely think so.
Okay.
I think there could be an argument for the bottom of Worth Playing For.
Shannon, do you have it this high?
No. I think I do, because I think I actually really loved a lot of the design and kind of ideas that went into the Second Chance of season. Like, that was just such an epic season to me. And even having the contestants wear their initial clothing, it was very conceptual in that way. And I was some of the most addicted I've ever been to Survivor was during that season. Maybe that's why I remember this necklace.
Okay.
But it's well designed.
Is it better? Shannon, it's better than Token Sheens, the original Steven season. This is Steven versus Steven.
Steven is great at having good immunity necklaces. I still wouldn't say so, because I just think the Token Sheens one's really pretty and it's really beautifully captures the culture, but I think it would just sit under that.
Yeah, nobody's going to wear this as a headdress anytime soon, not even Steven himself should he win it. But I think this is also very, I think this is, if we even freeze the Worth Playing For tier here, it's a great representation, right? We have an old school season, a middle school season, and a new school season represented right now.
Okay. All right. Mike, what's next?
So not to say that we need to freeze it, but coming up, there are some choices. Because let's move to Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. And it was brought to my attention that we should sort of relitigate the immunity necklace. Because it's a little less family friendly than I think we remember it being. Flat out, this
look on all faces where is this going?
Necklace, this necklace from Millennials versus Gen X has boobs.
Does it have boobs?
Or it could be, depending on the placement, or it could be, for going back to the DST of it all, it could be two things on the side of one thing.
Yeah, that's what I recall. Okay. Okay, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Let me describe to you what we have here. Let's start with a tiki making a pained look.
No, it's
or is he
happy.
Crying laughing?
No, I think he's ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Okay. Then on the left and the right, flanked by a large, flat, shiny seashell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we have a number of tiny plantains that are jutting off the side. What would you call those, Shannon?
Teeth.
Teeth of what?
I don't know. Everything seems to be teeth now, so I just went to teeth.
Yeah, I think they're various pieces of wood and bones. Whether those are teeth or not, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I feel like it's so lazy to go to the bone well. Just bones. We'll just throw on bones. Lazy.
Yeah.
Especially at this point in Survivor history. I mean, they did go back to Fiji again, so they can't pull. They did Tusk the first time. What are they going to do now?
Yeah.
True. Bones are the Fiji of Survivor necklaces.
And then we have everything all attached to one sturdy vine, which we can clearly see with a clasp in the back.
See, I wouldn't say this isn't family friendly. We have a literal sex toy on the list, but if you were to wear it as a belt, it would evoke some images. That's true.
I think this would be too small to wear for. You must be waiting until day 39 to wear this as a belt.
I lost a lot of weight, but not where it counts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when you said that it would be too small, you were going in a different, but you weren't Mike, because Mike would be making that joke.
No, you were an hour ago, Shannon.
Don't try and rewrite the narrative, okay? Anyone who's been listening since the beginning, which is most podcast listeners, knows what happened.
Okay. Shannon, do you have any strong feelings about this?
Not a ton.
Yeah.
It's not visually pleasing. It's not very interesting. In terms of iconic, is it remembered as the penis idol? I guess. Is that iconic at this point? No. Is that even the dirtiest thing we've talked about today? Mm-hmm. Not even that. Where is it ranking to be the best at anything if it can't even be the best at being the penis idol?
Okay. I like that Shannon has, as we close into 2 hours of this podcast, is now just interviewing herself about where she's gone wrong in this podcast.
What? Where did it begin?
Yeah. Why did I come here? I don't know. Was it a good idea? Probably not. Should I have passed? Yes.
To be fair, I mean, you're giving yourself a lot of credit if you think I needed to get 2 hours into this podcast to have the answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I knew that Mike would make this weird, okay? I already knew.
Listen, my brand.
All right. Let's rank this millennials versus Gen X idol. And let's start here. Okay. It's in the bottom tier. Let's look at it.
I think it's in the bottom tier. I think it is. I think it's that combination of both unmemorable, not for like, I do not know what they're doing with this mishmash of wood and bones, even around like the euphemistic aspects mm-hmm. of it. You know, like it just feels like it's
you feel like they were
together.
Going for the euphemism.
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe it was sort of like a litmus test. You know, this was the battle of the ages, much like the question of do you text you or the word you. It's like, yeah. Look at this necklace. What do you see? And they assume that the millennials would be like, ha, 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 that's a penis. And the Gen Xers would be like, I respect that tiki mm-hmm. and its surrounding seashells.
For sure, Taylor just looked at it like, ha, like, I can definitely see
love goggles.
Happened.
Yeah. So
they do kind of look like love goggles. These are love goggles.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Shannon, would you have it this low?
It doesn't, because like, I think I might put it slightly ahead of like the Spectre of Death one.
To me,
Karen Lowen.
Mike, this is maybe a misfire, but I wouldn't say it's ratchet. I wouldn't say it's an abomination.
I don't know. I
like
feel
these
like
other things that are on this tier.
The caramel and idol and everything above it at least look more cohesive. This just does not look cohesive whatsoever to me.
I feel like that this is near the Samoa fish hook and just like very, did you guys even try?
I think they tried and they failed.
What were they going for?
I think they were going for some sort of aesthetic here, some sort of like bare bones or bare wood aesthetic in many ways. And I think they failed there.
I don't know. Mike, is it important for you to have it in the bottom tier with the wreath and the DST?
I won't quibble with that. I feel like our Ain't No Hershey bar is just burgeoning, but I think it only makes sense that our, you know, our dong idol is gonna build out a little bit of that.
Don't, we're not calling it that.
No, we definitely are.
Yeah. Shannon, could it pass the Caramone Vulture idol?
That's kind of where it is for me.
Mm.
I thought you were gonna say, could you wear this to Fashion Week? No.
I could see people wearing it there.
I think that gets the censor bar at Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd put it kind of like, because I hate the skull. So I'm like already kind of want to put it ahead of that.
But. Right. But it does have bones in it.
Does it? What are those?
We don't know if they're bones or not. It's undetermined. I said they were plantains.
I think it's more likely that they're bones than plantains.
Huh?
They do look like tiny
little
bananas. They
were not ripe. Don't eat them.
There's plantain etiquette. I mean, is there any necklace etiquette?
Yes. Okay. All right. So Shannon, where would you have this higher or lower than Caramel?
I love that my opinion is now important. Let's put it slightly higher than Caramel.
Okay. All right.
Mike, we shouldn't be rewarding this for you.
Can you live with that?
I'll listen. I'll live in it. I'll live with it.
I also think that Samoa is so bad that at least this has something.
So you're jockeying to put it above Samoa.
Yeah. This fishhook is.
I don't know. I feel like the ugliness of this thing can only get it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to agree with Mike, which means the podcast has gone on too long.
All right.
Okay. Well, we only have two left here. We reached our final two. So let's move on to the very next season. We have to talk about Survivor Game Changers because this might be the most interesting necklace.
Okay.
We have to talk about in this entire batch.
All right. Here we go.
Cool.
Let's talk about this. Gadzooks. what in the name of Jeff Probst is going on here? We have a knotted rope around the rusted knotted rope in the center. There is some sort of a medallion for Aquaman, which is a downward facing trident.
That's my favorite yoga pose.
Yes. Then also around the knotted rope, we have skeleton keys. We have some looks like some fossilized seahorses.
No, oh, those are octopus tentacles.
Octopus tentacles. How do you know?
Well, listen, I've got the tattoo to prove it, don't I?
Oh, I guess so. Mike, this is
Mike. Like, I can tell you a thing or two about octopus tentacles.
Yeah,
one's on my body,
Mike. This necklace is like a Stefan Weekend Update description of an idol come to life.
This thing has everything: rope that's barely knotted, sea glass, an upside down trident, and human calamari.
Hmm.
That's the thing when a bunch of tiny tentacles make their way across you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is what I think they did. I think they got the rope, they knotted it a little, they put it in super glue, and then they put it into a bag of props and just pulled it out.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we have.
Here's what we got.
Yeah, this is bananas and not plantains. I mean, so I remember Game Changers had a very specific aesthetic. They were going for the whole shipwreck angle. I remember specifically the tribal.
I mean, they did there. That a lot.
Yeah.
It was a shipwreck for a lot of reasons.
Shannon, do you think that this necklace is evocative of the Game Changers casting in that they said, hey, it's a season, like, all right, well, let's throw a Beast Mode Cowboy in there, Haley Ford, whatever, like, that we want a necklace that sort of will remind us of, we don't know what this is.
Yeah, they proverbially stuck a rope into the casting pool, put super glue on it, and just pulled and saw what came out.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think so. I also think that this necklace, we cannot forget, is one of the reasons we got Advantage Geddon.
It's
in its own way. It's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
And yeah, the tentacles, I mean, because Survivor South Africa did it like actual octopus.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this. So if you want to look at like a cephalopod base immunity necklace, go to Survivor South Africa Island of Secrets, because that thing is outrageous.
Yeah.
If you want to see tentacles, like, you go to that necklace, you go to Mike's body, and then you go to this. Like, this is the worst example of that.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Although, Mike, does this necklace register at all on the 50 shades scale between the rope and the keys?
I thought you meant the hentai of it all. It's really just ticked a lot of boxes for the internet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I have to give it kudos for is unconventional use of materials. Like, I do think, like, the rope part of it is actually very interesting to me. I just feel like if they had adorned it with any other stuff besides what they put on it, the rope could have been an interesting sort of, like, base level to add things onto.
Hmm.
I don't understand how a 19 necklace is into this, and I didn't even know we were judging on unconventional use of materials until right now.
Okay.
But the rope is like weirdly discolored.
And in some places.
So what is like the blue and red, like, and the, like, what?
I think that's more like sea glass.
What is sea glass?
Sea glass is it's glass that gets like pounded by the waves and so it smooths out. Have you ever like gone beachcombing and found sea glass before?
I have not.
Clearly not.
No.
Okay. Yeah, so that's something I don't know. It looks like sea glass to me, that it's sort of is like it's very colorful and shiny, so that it's glass that's sort of been weathered down by the erosion aspects of it to make it very smooth and easy to touch.
All right, so here we go. We've got our Game Changers potpourri. A little bit of something for everybody here in the Survivor Game Changers necklace. All right, is it better than the Marcasian DST?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the question. Like, does this belong in the bottom tier for you? Or is this still sort of like the Millennials versus Gen X one? Like, it's ugly, but it's not as much of a hot mess to put it in the bottom tier.
Hmm.
But then the fact that it's partly responsible for Advantage Geddon. Like, it's only that I'm like, this took down Sir.
I think it's ugly enough to be in the bottom tier. How low would you
agree.
Have it?
I agree. And my question is, because I think the DST is still going to be our bottom ranked one. My question is above or below Gabon?
Nah, even with Advantage Geddon, I still think above. Like, the Gabon one is not a necklace.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The Gabon necklace is a pile of hay.
Yeah, like, this is at least a necklace that we can agree on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, it is at least going for theming, as opposed to, I think Gabon is, let's take the three little pigs and put it around someone's neck. Doesn't really apply to the season. So as garish as it may be, I agree with where it is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you that the fact that they try to keep it in the theme of, you wanted rope, you got it. You wanted Suri, you got it. You maybe wanted a trident, you got your Sandra. But did you want tentacles? Did you want Caleb? Well, you got it. You know, and I think that that's in theme.
Okay. All right.
All right.
One more to look at here today.
One more to look at, but I think we have finished with perhaps, I would say probably the most talked about recent immunity necklace because of how ugly it is. We're finishing off with the Ghost Island immunity necklace.
Okay.
I know that you had your own system, but I would have loved if you'd done the Island of the Idols one, just because that one I remember because it had two totems on it, I think.
Right.
And that made no sense because they weren't meant to know about, you know, Sandra and Rob.
If you knew,
there,
so you knew always, though.
Yeah, right. You would have been like, oh, yeah. But if you didn't, it would have made sense, but you would have been like, that's a little random. Mm-hmm. But I guess in the context of what we've seen, it wouldn't have been that random at all.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's also, that had it in the logo. It had it as the tribe immunity idol and the individual immunity necklace. So they were all about like, ooh, it's a secret to everyone.
Yeah, and it's funny because like apparently that secret just got like mass told, even though it wasn't. So they weren't being as clever about it as they thought they were.
Yeah. All right. Ghost Island. We have here what appears to be some driftwood, which looks like it's sort of knotted in the middle. And then off to the side, I don't really... Are those buoys that are floating? Are they shells? Mike, do you have any insight?
I'm pretty sure they're shells. They're not buoys or buoys, as Jonathan LaPaglia would put it.
Yeah. And in the center, it looks like that there is a dinner plate lodged in between the driftwood, which is in the shape of a skull with palm trees jutting out to sort of make eyes for the skull, and a dancing man like Rafiki in The Lion King holding up a torch, which is sort of like the nose.
Yeah, so this is all sorts of strange. And even separate from this, I also remember this necklace being really flimsy. In particular, the seashells were so flat that I think at the time, Liana, because I think we did a buffer snuff and we put this necklace in here, and Liana said that it reminded them of like a craft. You know, like something to loop it back to the very beginning, Rob, something that your 5-year-old son would make. Of like, yeah, I just painted a bunch of trees and two people dancing on it, and then I attached it to a bunch of driftwood and you know, screwed a couple of seashells on and said, have this, Wendell.
Okay.
The multi-dimensional, like, to make it so multi-dimensional, I think, to like get a dinner plate and then make that into a skull, but also a man dancing under trees, it's like, it's so many things. And I appreciate just kind of like that versatility.
It does tell a story of like a couple that had a tryst, and they're going on a second honeymoon, and here they are dancing under two palm trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is where the bad mistakes come to roost. It's like, listen, we're going to fix the mistake. We're going to reverse the curse of our marriage.
And what is on the driftwood? Like, what is that symbol?
I don't know. It kind of looks like an alien symbol.
Yeah, it kind of looks a little bit like a TIE fighter from the Star Wars series of films.
Yeah, yeah. Red Survivor standing by.
Yeah, looks like maybe these guys are, backing up Darth Vader. Okay.
It's very ugly.
And actually, the dinner plate design kind of looks like Darth Vader, with like the hollow sunken eyes.
Okay. All right. So let's take a look at where this should go in our list. All right. So I guess we'll start it here on our bottom tier. Okay. Shannon, any thoughts?
It's ugly, but I don't think it's like as much monstrosity. I wouldn't put it as low as the bottom tier, but I'd be putting it probably somewhere in the middle of Ain't No Hershey Bar. Like, again, for me, like...
In the middle, wow.
Because for me, the middle of it is the musky tusk. So like, I don't even agree that it should be there, but... Kind of in that like void of ugly nothingness, which is very much the bottom of Hershey Bar.
Mike, what do you think? Ghost Island.
I don't know. I think it's in the bottom tier because at least I think it's ugly personally. Like, I just think it looks flimsy. It looks chintzy, not chizzy. And I, at least again, the Game Changers aspect has that like nautical theme going for it, as much of a mishmash as it may be. God only knows what they were going for here with the Ghost Island stuff.
So for me, I think the forget you, go home, goodbye tier is stuff that it is a mess. What is this? What? Go back and come up with something new. That the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier, I think, is more, this is a simple idea that failed. And I feel like that this is more of a simple idea that failed than this is a an abomination. This is
a real idea.
I'm also realizing that this is not indeed two people. It's just one person in what looks like a torch.
Yeah,
I thought it was. I thought it was one person and a very skinny other person.
No, I mean, I guess it could be.
A snake to the sun,
or like dancing with a broom, like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also think like the missed opportunity. Like this is for Ghost Island. You couldn't come up with something better for Ghost Island. Like
that's the thing. Like I mean, let's loop it back to the very beginning. It was very clear that, like, okay, we got to invest in all these other things that we're bringing back. Oh crap, we need an individual immunity necklace, and Ghost Island shouldn't be a thing yet. Paint something on quick, and we need the, you know, while the paint dries, we'll bring it over to the first challenge.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you why this is bad? Because this should have been the sword. Like, the immunity necklace for Ghost Island should have just been, like, the most iconic immunity necklace from Survivor history. Don't you, like, as if they made, like, it's Ghost Island, and they made a new necklace, and it wasn't even good? Like, that's insulting.
I agree. I think it feels like a miss. That's another reason why I was, like, sliding it towards the bottom tier, because I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Okay.
Imagine how cool it would have been if it was the Pearl Islands sword and gun.
That would have been good.
That would have been cool.
Hey, you brought back three urns. Bring back a sword.
Well, the mythology of Ghost Island was that it had to be misplayed. So you'd have to come up with a time when somebody misplayed the immunity idol.
Yeah, and Will won immunity in the last one and took Sandra, and then probably most of the game.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you could have done it.
Ooh, I like that. Like, or you could say one time the jury won the sword, and as a result, Dara was voted out, and that was the curse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess you could.
Okay.
I mean, we can say anything, but I just think, that was this better than just bring back, like, an iconic necklace? Definitely not.
Just for fun, Mike, if we were going to add the Survivor Micronesia necklace, where would it be?
It's a good question, because I feel like the necklace would sort of be in that sort of like in that like Samoa Panama section. Because again, I feel like the necklace itself is really kind of a nothing burger. It's like a generic, hey, here's a bunch of tikis on a necklace. It might be buoyed a bit by the fact that it appeared in a later installation. But I think if you lined up three necklaces next to, if I lined up like Micronesia, South Pacific, and Heroes versus Villains next to each other, and I said, which one of these is the Micronesia necklace? I think it would be a tough one to pick. So I think in terms of memorability as an aesthetic itself, it really wasn't there.
Okay. Let me see.
I'm just thinking now about how like Jeff could have stood up there and said one time, like, Lil won this, and like, you, it's not about winning it, it's about what you do with it. Like, it could have been really cool. I'm mad at that.
And it could have been like, oh, it was the slippery slope that led to the only two-time winner in Survivor history so far, you know?
It would have been so good. I'm so mad now that that's not what they did.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we can't fix what they did in the old seasons. We can only hope that they don't make similar mistakes in the future. It's the best we can hope for. All right. Let's look at our list one more time and look at what we came up with.
If you're waking up, let's see where we got.
Yeah, if you just woke up and are joining us now, nothing inappropriate was said, and we had a great list.
Good one, Rob.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's talk about our bottom tier. Forget you. Go home. Goodbye. We have our Game Changers grab bag immunity necklace. Our Survivor Gabon immunity wreath, and the Marcation little trinket idol, for those of you who are just joining
us. Only fan's favorite dog sex toy for the newbies.
yes. Okay. All right. Are we comfortable here?
Yeah, I think comfortable. Well, if we're using your logic, Rob, of like, it really fits all the categories of ugly, a mess, and unmemorable, I think all three of those really hit all those points.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to quibble with one thing, because I feel like that we sort of defined, okay, this is a mess. This is a disaster. Our Ain't No Hershey Bar tier, I think that we defined as a relatively simple design, but uninspired. Which,
I didn't even define anything. Like, I'm so, so confused.
Right at the end, Shannon.
Yeah. We're okay, looking at what we have here. All right.
Okay.
We have here our, that from top to bottom, we have our, our Palau shark teeth, our Guatemalan candy necklace, our Survivor Panama immunity cape. Now, here's what I think. Okay. I think that this one belongs in the bottom tier.
I was just thinking that when you said that Ain't No Hershey Bar is simple, but
all right. I think we all sort of looked at that one like this one.
Yeah,
simple.
It doesn't fit. It's ugly. It's so ugly.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with putting it down there.
Okay, yeah. So where is it in the bottom tier? Is it the top of the bottom tier?
I think so.
Worse than Game Changers?
I don't know. I think the size of it is a pretty remarkable piece. I think more so than the odds and ends that comes with the Game Changers one.
You would top it off? Do I have to remind you about the dead baby head on this one?
Right, but we don't know how many baby parts are on the Game Changers one. There's so much stuff on there.
Yes.
And maybe it just didn't attach to the glue and it's just been left in the box.
Okay. All right. So we'll drop the Survivor Panama voodoo cape down to the top of the Forget
big
You Go
ball,
Home Goodbye
team. It felt like six or seven places.
Yeah.
Look,
that was what?
Really, Michelle and Victoria that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we have from top to bottom of the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier, we have the Palau shark teeth, Guatemalan candy necklace, the tusk that Mike enjoys the musk of this Fijian tusk necklace, the Nicaraguan cross necklace, the Samoan fishing hook. The Millennials versus Genitalia necklace. We have the...
It took so long to get there, but I'm so glad we did. All right.
Caramoan, the Caramoan vulture necklace and the Ghost Island driftwood necklace.
So let me ask, I know we went the other way. Are there any here that we would want to bump up to My Life is Fine?
Not for me.
In retrospect. I could see an argument for the shark necklace, but it would be on the low end.
Yeah, I think it's fine here. I think it's good at kicking off the simplistic, but lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good at like if you just hadn't put so many shark teeth, you could have been bumped up a tier.
Exactly. It had
if that's
job.
A lesson you have to learn.
Okay. Shannon, could you come up with a category for what we have here? The five entries here in My Life is Fine, which include the Amazon feather necklace, the Philippines Fashion Week amulet, the immunity bib from Survivor Africa, the original Borneo face paint totem, and the Survivor Worlds Apart Flavor Flav compass.
Yeah, I think that these are largely of value to us, mostly good, but with obvious flaws that that have them not be
like on the right path, but yeah. There's still some things that are keeping it from the top tier.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then our top tier,
our three musketeers.
The three musketeers. We have in third place, the Survivor Cambodia. Second chances, immunity vest.
Ironically, that would come third, the second chances.
Exactly.
We have in second place the Survivor Token Jeans feathery necklace. And
feather
then,
explosion.
Yes. And then. In first place, the greatest immunity necklace is no necklace at all. It is the sword, sheath, and pistol holster.
I mean, the lesson truly is, Rob, that it's about the necklaces we made along the way, not the final result.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love the best necklace is not a necklace at all, just defines what we're doing here, and that feels right to me. But like in doing this exercise, I'm concerned at how bad so many of the necklaces are. Like, this is a professional production. They seem to be kind of going on a downward trend a little bit. I know that the Cambodian one, I mean, that was like 10 seasons ago, basically. point.
Well, let's do an exercise, Shannon, then. Okay, so let's say, all right, we get a call after this podcast is over from the Survivor Art Department. Season 41, hey, we just listened to the podcast. You guys seem like you are on the right track. Can you help us develop a great-looking immunity necklace? We loved what Mike did in season 39. Can you help us come up with a great necklace for season 41, regardless of theme?
Well, I mean, in Talking Tribal, we had to make an immunity idol, and mine was so ugly, and also I couldn't tie it up. Like, I could not tie the knot, so I was just, like, holding it behind my head. It was really embarrassing. Okay. So, I mean, we should put our money where our mouth is after just insulting all these necklaces.
All right. Well, let's just talk about, like, because
let's
we
brainstorm,
said the best necklace was something that was not a necklace at all. Could we think outside the box? How about, here, I've got one. Hear me out. Feather bow tie.
Ooh, feather bow tie. How about this? Feather crown.
Feather crown. So
feather tiara.
All right. So yeah, you've just won immunity. For now, personally, feather crown
I have some bad memories for
not
you,
great
but.
For me in my past experience, but I do like the idea of, I feel like that we're onto something here.
Like, I think something that can go on you, but not on around your neck.
I think that the best necklaces are ones that are like speak to the theme of the season. Obviously that was true of the Pearl Islands one. So if we're hoping or thinking the next season is going to be Survivor Wild West, maybe it is just a holster, and because no OH&S in America, we give them the gun. We give them a full-on gun with it.
Not loaded, though.
But could we do... It's tough, because I would say we could do a cowboy hat for that season, but I feel like because so many people come in with cowboy hats, you'd sort of be eliminating that wardrobe thing. What about like sort of like a bandana necklace for Wild Wild West that you can sort of tie around your mouth if you want to, you know, be up to any mischief in your
like
spy shack?
Yeah.
I guess it is a buff. That's true.
What about something kind of like that you can you drape it over your shoulders? I'm not sure if this would be more like an immunity towel or maybe it could
an immunity jacket.
Jacket. That would be good. Hard to get one size fits all on the jacket, but like I'm imagining something like nunchucks that you would have over your go around your neck, but not close in the front.
Can we do like immunity chainmail where you're like putting it on above your clothing?
You know what I'm loving is I'm getting to see how these immunity necklaces were made, because I feel like it starts in an okay place. And that the fact that we already got to chainmail after a minute of discussion shows how some of these necklaces came to be.
Record time.
Yeah, I do wonder. Yeah, going back to the feather hat idea. Like, what about some sort of like a pirate hat? Like, I feel like that would be the, you know, you could really put it on somebody. I think that would, you know, like, get over here. Come on, put this hat on.
Yeah, and I think also it's highly desirable, right? It is very hot and sunny on the Survivor Island, and so people are seeking shade at a moment's notice, and then you get one immediately. It's almost like a double purpose, like that bib we mentioned at the very beginning.
Yeah. It's like a kid celebrating a birthday in like elementary school class. It's like, all right, here's the birthday kid over here. The big hat.
Here's your immunity hat.
Yeah. All right.
I think it has to be a necklace. Like, I think we wanted to have the semblance of a necklace, though.
Could it be both? Could
Go
it be
on.
A necklace that connects to a hat? One piece.
And you can wear it reversible?
What?
Wear it as both a hat and a necklace, depending on how
You put it on, and it like almost like those hats that have the things that you could drink beer out of. You have the hat, and it connects down to like a chain that turns into a necklace,
and you can drink beer out of it.
Mike,
so to answer your question, Rob, we cannot come up with a better immunity.
No, I think we're striking out. But just to go back to the jacket idea, like I do feel like that, you know, the HOH gets a robe on Big Brother. Big Brother Shannon is a show where people live in a house and are filmed by cameras, which is similar to Survivor, but it takes place all in a parking lot. Yes.
No HOH.
And yes.
They have a HOHS in Australia.
Yeah. Could you do some kind of a robe?
You know what? I think we can compromise. I think a vest can be enough of a one size fits all type of thing where it's aesthetic enough, like it can cover enough of you and it can be big enough that you don't need to worry about like arm length or arm thickness or anything like that. Because I think vests are, I've done enough show choir in my day to know that vests can take you a long ways around a bunch of different size people.
Yeah. What about some sort of like wrestling belt that I feel like that would be, because you'd be like able to, you could wear it like a belt. You could carry it around to tribal council and think that, so you're like, I'm the champion of immunity.
So here's my question, is that belts and necklaces, like what is the difference between them other than just how you choose to wear it? All of these necklaces could be belts.
Very large. Like you wouldn't be able to wear it around your neck.
These are pretty large.
I think belts are more so meant to be form fitting. Like they're meant to restrict to your body form. Whereas I think these necklaces, as we've seen, are not necessarily meant to be like choking your neck unless you're made of tusk.
Some of them look more like belts and necklaces.
About an immunity garter? It goes around your leg. It's like a smaller version of the necklace, and you can like raise your pant leg to show that you're immune.
And then the person who wins it after their term is over, then they throw it out to the rest of the tribe,
and then whoever catches it. You don't need immunity challenges. Yeah. Just do that.
I think that makes sense.
What about immunity ring? You know, just like a beautiful
outfit. Smaller.
And I mean, that's cool.
Jeff, I would love to give it back as my thing. Do you have any like butter or anything? It's just stuck. I can't get
And
it
this
back.
Is great because we could have someone really be obsessed with winning immunity and they turn very golem-like of obsessing over the immunity ring.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think our work is done here.
I think we really settled on something great.
Okay. All right. Well, Shannon, let me go to you first. We have still a lot to cover because we're going to hear about everything that Mike is working on. Shannon, what are you up to besides talking with Harry?
Oh, I mean, I did the Harry podcast. I've actually done a lot of podcasting this week, which has been kind of rare in these times. I was on Josh's post-show recaps community building podcast.
Oh, I didn't know you were a big community person.
Yes,
oh, I'm a big community person.
I've got one episode left in my rewatch, but also it's like one of my favorite shows ever.
Does community spoiler alert, does community do a big finale or is just that they're it's the final episode?
No, it does try to.
Yeah, it's not like a big finale, like, oh my God, we're doing all this stuff, but it's a definitive conclusion.
Yeah.
And because Community was like always on the verge of getting canceled, they have like four different series finales where they were like, are we coming back? We'll just tie it up just in case. So, So anyway, we did the two Christmas episodes. Speaking of how I have nothing to comment on of the anti-Semitic Nicaraguan necklace, but those are two of my favorite episodes, especially Abba's Uncontrollable Christmas. And we also did regional holiday music. So we chatted about that, which was fun. And like, it was a big PSR patron week for me. Cause then last week I was also on Watching with Wiggler, just chatting to him for like an hour about nothing really. So that's open for patrons, but that was really fun. Like we got really deep. We talked about some stuff. I was like, how many people are really listening to this? So it was quite an intimate conversation. So,
and you didn't even watch something.
I mean, I'm watching some trashy stuff. I'm watching The Bachelorette.
No, but you did a Watching with Wiggler podcast and you weren't even watching anything.
You're watching yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, cooking with yourselves.
I was just basically talking about TV. There's much like this podcast, there's like not a lot of structure to it. We don't really know what we're doing, but we're just kind of chatting.
Hey, we did a whole list.
Yeah.
We had tears. Thank you very much.
This is nothing but structure.
Okay, fair enough. Yours has been really important.
We made a pie crust. You say what you want to about the filling.
Fair. All very fair. Anyway, so sign up to be a post-show recaps patron. But you can listen to the community one even if you're not a patron. I tweeted out the link. So that's what I've been up to. It's a lot less than Mike. But thank you guys for having me on. This was super fun. It was definitely something.
Yes. Okay. And Mike, I know one of the busiest people in podcasting. What are you up to, Mike?
So let's start with, I guess, the most applicable to you, Rob, which is the podcast that we get to do together every week besides Outwit Out Play Out List, is we get to do not one, but two Amazing Race podcasts. I think, you know,
I'm having so much fun with the Amazing Race season.
Yeah, it's been a really great season.
I love it.
And I will go so far as to say, Shannon, I think, you know, we're definitely going to want to bring you on for Tar Pits later on to get your thoughts on the Amazing Race and submit yourself, unfortunately, to more spoilers.
If we get a good response from this episode.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't know I was still like auditioning for stuff. I've been here for several years. No, I'm loving the Amazing Race. Like, to embarrass my husband for a second, at the end of the last episode, I turned to him and he's just like got tears streaming down his face. And he's like, it's a beautiful show. So we're loving it.
Peter was crying from The Amazing Race this week.
Was it because of Michelle and Victoria?
He cried. Yeah, multiple times. He cried when like he cried at just random parts. I should not be saying this on air. I also teared up a little bit, but I just turned to him and he's got like proper tears and he's just like,
oh my God.
They need to take this moment and like put it in their Amazing Race marketing stuff. Cause like it is a tear jerking show, according to
this was a tear jerking podcast, but we're loving it. Like it makes you laugh, it makes you cry, like maybe it just makes him cry. I don't know if it was other people not crying. It was
I haven't heard that reaction.
Yeah, Amazing Race 32 is firing on all cylinders, and we are hopefully doing so as well. I know that we're going to be, I think at the time this is coming out, this will actually be after we do a live recap after the big 2-hour block on the Amazing Race coming this week. And of course, we'll be doing the tar pits that weekend, gathering everything up. And of course, I'm doing exit press as well for the Amazing Race over on parade.com. Then over on post-show recaps, I'm going down the hatch every week with Josh Wiggler, reviewing even sillier stuff than immunity necklaces. Over on our Lost Rewatch podcast. And then go into the stars with Jessica Lise to talk about all things Star Trek as we near the halfway point of Star Trek Discovery Season 3. And then outside of that, a bunch of other little random things. Actually, Survivor-based, the Survivor Historians came out with our first part of our Nicaragua.
Oh, Shannon, coverage. Perfect.
Yeah, Vicky of someone named Shannon. So we covered the first four episodes, which might be honestly the strongest part of the season. There's a lot of wackiness to talk about. It really is the Game Changers immunity necklace of seasons, Survivor Nicaragua. You should check that out. I was also on Reality NSFW talking about Australian Outback episode 13, I think it was. Talking actually when Rob, you and I talked about advertising the internet last week. I got to see that in full in this week's episode.
Yes. Okay. All right. There you go. Of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We had a lot of fun this week. We played Patron Family Feud on Monday night. That was a big hit. Of course, you can check out everything we have to offer over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Going to be a jam-packed week of podcasting. Make sure you check out everything at robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with some more Outwit, Outplay, Outlist coming soon. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.